Trade services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, number 194, I think, isn't it? I'm Adam, and even though we're watching two episodes or even stories or sort of stories today, I can't think of anything to say from... Oh, yeah, hang on. I do one from Unearthly Child. There we go. And I'll do one from Silver Nemesis. Excellent. Here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
All things, all power, time, space, the world.
Here's Mary Lang.
I don't have anything from an Unearthly Child, but I do have... Yes, we will, honey. Yes, we will.
Yeah, that was... was that you then in the back of the car? Oh. And it's Robert Haynes.
Is this the human condition of madness, leader?
Clearly. no Matthew this week, because there's no quiz this week. Obviously, he couldn't be bothered to turn up. And no Reese this week, who's obviously... can't be bothered to tell us he's left the show, so he just sneaks off. Do we really miss him? It's November. It's the 20th anniversary, the 50th anniversary. He can't even be bothered to turn up for any of our episodes. It's like not turning up for a party, isn't it? Or missing somebody's birthday.
Yep, it's a teenager for you.
Yeah. Not impressed.
Like
anyway,
teenagers.
Indeed.
We needed Matthew here because he somehow thinks that Silver Nemesis is one of the greatest Doctor Who stories of all time.
You're right. He likes it.
I enjoy it, Kirby.
So did he respond to your...
No. I sent two texts and got nothing.
Disgraceful. Ooh. What commitment. Anyway, yeah. Right. By the way, there's a new quiz book out. It's called The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book by me. It's also a spin-off of a quiz show series called You Won't Get This One, as it actually states within the pages of the e-book. Does it not? Hello, everybody there?
I'm guessing it does.
Well, you must have. I did post it on Facebook.
I guess too.
Well, you posted the dedication.
Deb's just opened the door,
posted a link to
wearing
it.
A bra and waving at me. I thought it was really... quite sweet.
What?
They've just burst in, wearing just a bra, and she's just waving at me. I don't know if she's trying to gesture for me to be a bit quieter.
Is it only available on iTunes, or is it available on any other format?
The book, the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, is available on Kindle in the US, Kindle in the UK via Amazon, or on iTunes. And you'll be hearing quite a lot of this, because I have posted on as many Doctor Who podcast groups as possible, but I'm only a member of a few of them. So if any of you lot could sort of tweet it for me spread the word, because it is a rather good... It's not like one of these quiz books written by people who doesn't know anything about Doctor Who that you occasionally get with really easy questions. These are proper... Because Doctor Who fans are so pedantic, and most of them know everything about Doctor Who, or at least they think they do. And this quiz book will keep you entertained, I assure you.
I need to read it to find the mistakes, right?
And I know somebody who's actually bought it. Chuck Gears.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. Thanks, Chuck.
Hello, Chuck.
So it's quite... It is a bargain. Pardon?
Chuck.
Right. Oh, very funny. He's really going to appreciate that. That's one listener we've lost now.
yes. See.
Let's see. Right, so if you are in the United States, it's going to cost you $5.11. If you're in the United Kingdom, it's going to cost you £3.99. Or if you buy it from Amazon, £3.19, because it's slightly cheaper on Amazon than it is on iTunes. And it's 500 questions. I didn't design the cover, by the way. Though the cover's pretty good, actually. But it was a nice picture of Matt Smith. But I didn't design that. It is actually in keeping with the designs of the other books I have on iTunes and Amazon. For instance, if you go on Google and search, for instance, the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, it comes up with my page on iTunes, the ultimate... Oh, yeah, I have to put iTunes in the search as well. And it comes up with the little description on it. And it says, more by Adam Pearson, the Beatles quiz book, the rugby quiz book, the Rolling Stones quiz book, and From Troy to Man. It forgets to mention The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin, the Leicester City quiz book, the World Cup quiz book, and all the other ones. The funny thing is, Apex, who are my publishers, that's apexpublishing.co.uk, have just released a World Cup quiz book, forgetting that I released a World Cup quiz book about 4 years ago. So they've got very short memories. But I don't care, because they've actually got this book out in time for the anniversary. Frustrating thing is they didn't bother telling me it was out, because it actually published on the 30th of October. But there you go. So I'm giving it a big push. Big public... At least I can write better than I can speak. A publicity push. Yeah, so that's the Ultimate Doctor Who quiz book, available now.
I have just purchased it.
Thank you, Kirby. Okay, right. Today, we're going to be looking at two things. One, we're going to do an immediate commentary on An Unearthly Child. And then we'll be looking at Silver Nemesis.
Hey.
And
Silver Garbage.
Even though I don't really feel inclined to do...
It's not that bad.
Particularly... shut up. A particularly long synopsis on it. I have a few things to say about that particular story. One is I'm quite glad it's only three episodes. Right, so
yes.
An Unearthly Child. Are we all ready to get that episode queued? That's you, listeners, and you, Kirby, yep. Mary, and Robert, and where the bloody hell is Reese? So, okay, are we ready for a 3-2-1 and start?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yep. We'll still be starting in different places.
Oh, hang on a sec. Right.
Why?
No, I'll do the 3-2-1 and start. Yes, I suppose we will be. No, but technically we won't be, will we? Because even with the delay, everybody will press start at their ends at the same time. Yeah? So are we ready?
Yes.
Yep.
3-2-1, start.
And the greatest theme tune of all time starts. Yes. Except I don't have the volume on.
Trouble is, I've got to turn the volume down. There we go.
Yeah. Because you just realized so you had
them. We just get to watch.
Right. Well, it is the greatest theme tune of all time. And imagine seeing that on these graphics for the first time. You know, when it first aired in 1963, especially, you know, at that particular time when Kennedy had been killed.
Oh, look, it's John Hurt.
It doesn't look much. I have to admit, though, it doesn't look much like John Hurt.
Not a bit.
But I suppose, you know, it's a bit grainy. I suppose you could sort of pass for John Hurt a little bit. So John Hurt wanders off into the shadows. A bit dusty. I'm surprised it didn't set off the smoke alarms. Of course, they wouldn't have had smoke alarms in the BBC in those days. And then we see the doors of I.M. Foreman. The only time it's spelled correctly? Nah. But it does say scrap merchant, $76.
But I suspect it's going to be spelled correctly next week.
It better be, because...
Yes.
Not only is Moffat arrogant and stuff like that, he's also a pedantic Doctor Who fan. Yeah. Well, he thinks he's great, but in some ways he is. Especially when we come to that McGann thing, which we're going to talk about immediately after this.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we have
What I find interesting about this scrapyard is that if it's open to the air, there are all these things, pictures, quilts, all this stuff that I would think would be destroyed if this was open.
I've never, ever considered that, Mary.
Well,
I have. I considered the same thing the first time I saw it.
Did you?
Yeah.
It must be an American thing. But it's, yes, I suppose you could say that's...
There's Mr. Coburn, who might be in trouble. No, he's not.
He's
not
dead.
No, I don't think so.
His son is trying to cause trouble.
So we had a bit of a handheld shot there, and then we had a blurring out shot into it in the Coal Hill School. Lovely 1960s. Yeah.
Now, last night, I watched this with Fred last night, and she had me replay the little interplay between the schoolgirls and that boy who peers over their shoulder.
Something. That girl who just went through shot bears a striking resemblance to Jenna Louise Coleman.
Not enough
girl on the right-hand side. Striking resemblance. She could easily pass as her. Wow.
And then Barbara gives Ian a very come-hither look.
Wow, because she saw Susan and the Doctor enter the TARDIS on Gallifrey. Now she's following them to Coal Hill School. Hey, that's a revelation for the 20 Megabyte podcast.
You realize Ace is going to be in the same school the next day.
Yep. In remembrance.
Yeah. True.
Anyway, on the blackboard, it says homework Tuesday.
Yes.
I might turn the volume
up. What are the problems?
I don't know. What are the problems? I can't see because Barbara's head's in the way.
Yeah.
But I might turn it up a bit when our theme tune comes into the proceeding. Might turn the volume up. You won't be able to hear
this. Yes, that sounds good.
But you probably haven't been on
the
show long enough.
I've got the subtitles on.
Do you remember when I did a little skit with playing the parts of Ian for the beginning of the show?
Was that the one with the second doctor?
No, I did a little skit for this scene that led up to our theme tune.
Now, did everybody go to high school?
I do.
That with all these weird dark bottles and, I mean, were your science labs like this?
I'm not being funny. I was born in 1966, so I wouldn't know. You have to ask Kirby.
My science labs did look like this, yes. But I would not have been in high school at that point.
Well, my science lab didn't have any bottles in jars like that.
No, I think we had them in cupboards, but they were locked away in a cupboard.
I wasn't in school in 1963. Let's put it that way.
Let's say they were locked away in a cupboard.
So,
please listen. They were locked away in a cupboard, but we did have bottles like that. Yes. Anyway,
I just think this is 50 years ago.
Yeah, it was. Was it?
Yes, it is.
50 years, was it? Where'd you get that figure from? It was all gone quiet. Yeah. So this is it. I've got to turn it up now.
Oh,
this
here it is. Yes.
Yep. Here's your song.
That's a good bit of music. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It said lively music playing on radio.
It didn't say 20 megabyte podcast theme tune playing on radio.
And we're watching Susan's lovely hands.
Yeah. Is everybody following the dance along?
No.
Yes.
is that hand jiving? I'll have to say
some version of it, I guess.
That's what she said.
I'll have to find out which episode of the 20 Pegabyte podcast has got the skit on it, you know, the little skit I did. When I played the part of Ian.
Did you do it?
Anyway, I'll turn it back to. Oh no, I've accidentally turned. Oh, I whizzed it backwards, and I whizzed the wrong thingamajig now. Hang on, I don't know where I am now. I've lost my timeline.
It's five. Yeah, five and a half minutes nearly.
Yeah, times, as in times and numbers.
5.29, 5.3, or whatever.
5.55, 5.56, 5.57, 5.58.
Whoa. 6 minutes. Tell me when it gets to 6:05.
Now.
Thank you. Right, so she's looking at...
I'm at 5.54.
Well, at the moment, for me, she's looking at the book. Is it the French Revolution book?
Paper-wrapped,
Yes.
Which is a slightly different
one.
I'm a little bit behind
you, so...
It's the one that Ace looked at, doesn't it? But a different version.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the same book, but it doesn't look the same.
Supposed to be, yeah.
Now, had they decided they were going to actually do a story on the French Revolution, you know, by the time this had come up, I have to turn the volume down there.
Doubtful. I think Bobbity would have, maybe. How long ago was...
That in the first season?
I thought it was supposed to end.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was in the first season, yeah.
I thought it was supposed to end after the Edge of Destruction. And
last story.
What was the last story?
No, Reign of Terror was the last.
No, what I'm saying
was Planet of the Giants.
That was only commissioned initially for the first 11 or 12 episodes, wasn't it? And then they decided that because of the success of the Dalek story, it carried on. I don't know.
I can't remember.
So I'm not sure. I'd be interested to know whether Reign of Terror was actually already planned when she looked in the book. Oh, we've got some flashback scenes of Susan having the classmates sort of take the mickey out of her. Still happens now.
Ian and Barbara are stalking her in the car.
Now, apparently they don't have school uniforms, but Susan is always wearing the same outfit for some reason.
Yes, interesting. Also, it looks a bit like one of the Star Trek uniforms, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's super sleek.
Yeah.
But I did like these little scenes of sort of showing us, you know, what Susan was like as a pupil. And of course, the way the camera work also, I found that quite interesting, because obviously the camera is following around. She's virtually looking into the camera, but she's looking up at Ian. But the camera must be on Ian's chest.
Wouldn't they have already been in discussions for going to decimal system? 1963 because it was less. It was in 1971 right. when Kirby. You did go. To Decimal
Kirby,
system.
I'm going to introduce you something. There's something called Wikipedia. What you do is you go on it and you look up to see when.
Which never lies.
When they decided to discuss the idea of the decimal system in the United Kingdom. Okay. Meanwhile, they're still showing bits of Susan sort of being clever.
Chris, if you notice, the chalk marks behind her have not changed since the present day that we were in there. So I don't think anybody bothered to change the background behind Susan.
Again,
they're doing it live.
Never
that's
noticed
why.
That before.
I had.
Yeah, we could guess that.
Deary me. But yes, you're right. I mean, it was sort of filmed as live, so give them some credit, eh? Yeah, so they like you say, Mary, they're stalking Susan, which are going, they would really probably get
Which in today's world, you know, they would both be approached and arrested, probably.
And would not longer be allowed to be teachers anymore. But it's ironically, <That's right. laughs> after this episode, they weren't allowed to be teachers anymore.
So. That's true, but not of their own choosing.
Indeed.
The British Association for the Advancement of Science and the Association of British Chambers of Commerce were discussing it in 1961 and reported in 1963 to start decimalization.
Well, there you go.
Well, then it would all have been discussions happening higher up and not down where the common folk are.
The everyday person.
Common folk.
Common.
Anyway.
The common folk.
So anyway, they enter the scrapyard and he's got a little torch and they haven't entered it yet, actually, have they?
By the way, that car thing is just...
Oh, my God, it's the master. The master in his cloak is sat in... Oh, no, it's a dummy of some variety.
Yeah. So we get to see more of the things that would be destroyed if those things were actually out in the open air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some spooky statues, some walls, some bird
cages. Isn't
it
a great mystery, though, don't you think?
A mystery? What's a mystery? Doctor Who?
Well, they built up a good mystery, I think.
Oh, yeah, no.
They did.
Hang on. He's fallen over and hurt his ankle.
Very
top heavy.
Episode.
They're very top heavy, these TARDIS crew. Potential. Maybe that's the thing to get into the TARDIS. You have to be slightly top heavy and fall over easy or twist your ankle or whatever.
at least it's a man for a change, though.
He's got a torch.
Now, what
it's quite
they
bright in
when
there.
They drop the torch.
Exactly.
I know, yeah.
It was the lights from.
It's
the light from the TARDIS. You see.
Ah.
Although you can't see any.
But you think they would have gone right up to it had they noticed that there were lights in
anyway,
there?
They find a police box, and it's alive. Gordon's alive.
And isn't it odd that they would hear Susan's voice inside there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose they had to have that somehow, didn't they? Otherwise, they wouldn't suspect
anything.
But that's all right. And just think, in a few days' time, we're going to see the new representation of this in Adventures in Space and Time.
Mm.
Oh, God, I can't wait for that.
Really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to next year's Adventures in Space and Time convention with all the actors that were in it instead of Doctor Who actors. Anyway, back to...
Did you notice the Doctor just farted?
Did he?
Yeah, he's blowing with his hands the smell away. Oh,
for God's sake, Robert.
Didn't you see that?
So uncouth.
Yes, I saw that.
Anyway, so, yes, the Doctor turns out. Our first view of the iconic Doctor. Who's a bit cantankerous and rude.
Mm-hmm. Very mysterious.
He's
later one.
He's not nearly as rude in this version as he is in the pilot.
Oh, is he more in the pilot? Yeah, I have seen the pilot, but not for a long time.
That's one of the reasons they redid it.
And there's
the character toned down.
There's some boom miking issues, unfortunately. But he does play the part quite well if you think about it. He's more of a mysterious alien, isn't it?
Yes,
what he's supposed to be, but he's just a bit unlikable.
I think that's what they overdo nowadays. It's like I'm the Doctor. I'm a Time Lord from Gallifrey. Rather than maintain the mystery.
Well, they do maintain
like
the mystery. I must admit. The mystery of the Eighth Doctor and the War Doctor, no spoilers there because everybody seems to know it now anyway, it's a big mystery. Obviously, it's now been explained a little bit if anybody was lucky enough to watch the Paul McGann short, but as I say, we'll talk about that.
No, nobody watched that at all.
No, only a few million.
No.
Only five or six times.
I've only seen it once. I've seen it once, so I'm good.
I've only seen it once, though.
And I can't wait to see it again.
Meat.
Anyway, back to this episode. Yes. Yeah, I think the Doctor is trying to sort of make out that he's not a strange old man who's trying to keep a little girl trapped
he's
in
a pedophile.
Trapped in a police box. But I think somewhere along the line, Susan shouts out. And then, of course.
Can I ask something?
No, you can't. Well, go on then quickly. Yes, come on.
Do you think they would do such a thing nowadays, like have an older man with a young girl like Susan? It might be misconstrued. And yeah.
Well, this is, those days, it was a bit funny, wasn't it? And that's why they had to show that there was a granddaughter. You know, if it wasn't his granddaughter, because it wouldn't be at all appropriate.
When they first came up with the character, they didn't indicate she was the granddaughter.
No.
She was just a young girl.
Yeah, exactly. So they had to bring that into it to make it sort of
There's Cliff.
Acceptable.
There's Cliff.
Cliff? What do you mean, Cliff?
That was his original name.
what you mean, Ian?
Yeah.
So anyway, they barged their way into the magnificent TARDIS set, and for 1963 it was magnificent. And from obviously what we've seen of Adventures in Space and Time, it was magnificent then as well.
Brilliant.
And
they've actually got real roundels instead of photographic blobs as well.
No, there's a photographic. One of the walls is a photograph.
Yeah, there is. That's true.
Yeah, but
Kirby.
Most of them, I'm saying, most of them. Yeah. Rather than.
I mean, I have to say, part of the DW celebration is we're going to have our picture taken with the TARDIS console, and that TARDIS console is Matt Smith's. Unfortunately, I would have loved it to have been this one, but it is Matt Smith's first TARDIS console. Up to
does this one
you've done your
exist?
Wig, Adam?
Eh? What wig?
This one doesn't
no,
still
Doctor
exist.
Who wig, like Hartnell. Pretend you were Hartnell if it was the original.
I could do, but I wouldn't because I've got three other people with me. Go on, Kirby.
They did reconstruct this one for Adventures in Space and Time, and it's on display in Cardiff.
I know. I really must go and see that. Don't know when if I am actually going to get a chance to see it, but I really would like to see that. In the flesh, as it were. Do you think they've still got the Tenant TARDIS console at the Doctor?
Yes, they do.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
It's such a brilliant thing. You should really
anyway,
go.
Anyway, back to this show.
Yes, go on.
Yes.
Excuse
you.
Kirby.
Well, you were just going off on tangents.
Yeah, which is what you do when you're watching TV. You go off on tangents. But this is obviously the more sort of the Doctor and Susan talking about where they come from and
you've discovered television.
Yes.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes, yes.
And of course, Ian and Barbara sort of can't believe any of it, even though they're
I'm about to get rid of television.
Big
so.
On the inside.
don't Hartnell's teeth look like vampire? Like
yeah. He's got very recessed front teeth. Yeah. So they're
yes.
But this is what the Americans would call typical British teeth.
Yes.
Yeah. No, they're not crooked enough.
Shut up.
Have a look at Paul Cornell.
Yeah, I know.
But Ian's shows that he's a smoker.
Ian's does.
Ian's really? Teeth, yeah.
Really? But he's in his
80s.
Got
all this dark stuff in between his teeth.
You wouldn't have thought
he Well, how's he managed to live for 50 years past this?
Maybe he gave
he's
up.
Still going strong.
Some smokers do well.
Oh, well done. I hadn't really considered the teeth aspect.
Yeah, there's George Burns, wasn't there?
What about George Burns? Well, he lived into his nearly 100, wasn't he?
A cigar smoker, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Now, if you look at certain angles, you can tell which of those backdrops is the photograph.
That one there is definitely the backdrop.
That one, right.
And that was still in use right the way up to Pertwee, that backdrop.
Yes. So,
very useful bit of backdropping, eh, Kirby?
Yes.
Lots of dialogue.
It's more robust than the other ones, isn't it?
I hadn't realised how much
dialogue.
Have
you ever thought what it was like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension?
No, I haven't, but I've been watching this episode.
Exiles.
Yes.
But they do keep this, even though there's a lot of dialogue, they keep the scene interesting the way the camera keeps rotating around them and going up close and changing angles.
And vision mixing.
No, it's great. But when the Doctor talks about being exiles and stuff, look how sad Susan looks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really, really good because you know get to sort of really imagine that they don't really want to be
I'm really curious with Adventures in Space and Time, the stills scene of them standing around on this set have had Susan in her futuristic costume from the pilot.
Right, right. Well, they're it's probably going to be about shooting the pilot.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's quite interesting also that there was a bit where Susan says, don't hurt them. And obviously John Hurt is going to be in the 50th anniversary special. And also Ben picked up.
Yeah, wasn't that?
Ben picked up on the fact that the Eighth Doctor said this is going to hurt.
Yeah, he says hurt, which is precisely. Quite funny.
But the Doctor is very threatening in these scenes. You know, he's like, he's in control, and she's saying, don't hurt them. And you begin to wonder, who is this person? Is he good? Is he bad?
Yes.
It's a wonderful mystery.
Yes, I think that's why can't be the Doctor that makes the TARDIS dematerialize, because that would be that the Doctor has kidnapped them. It has to be. Yeah. He's sort of kidnapped them in a way, because he won't let them out.
Right.
But at this point, they have got a chance of leaving if they can get the doors open.
Right, but Ian shocks himself trying to do so.
Yes. It's quite funny, really, isn't it? But excellent as well. Imagine watching this for the first time. There wasn't a lot of science fiction TV. It was only a Static Shock. I got one of those today when I went behind the kiosk, and it's got a metal brimming surface, and I was wearing nylon.
I like his acting, though.
Well, because he must have hurt quite a lot, because he went onto his knees.
Yeah.
I tried to watch it as if I were watching it for the first time, and the Doctor did come across as you weren't sure at all. Threatening, but grandfatherly, and, you know, Susan begging with him, keeping them trapped. It was all very
His reasons
scary.
For keeping them trapped were unfounded, because all he had to do is let them out and dematerialize. And then even if they did complain, nobody would have believed them anyway.
I know, yeah. Yep, that's true.
Yeah, they could have just left, yeah.
You know what was good is that it took until the end of Edge of Destruction for them to start really trusting each other.
Yeah.
And that was like, over the case of three stories, we had this. So I'm glad the crotchety bit didn't last.
Oh,
well,
it was
like
the Doctor that dematerialized it, but it was because Susan fought with him that broke the chameleon circuit. Oh, they're doing a little bit of swirly round dancing. But fortunately, Barbara falls into the chair before she has a snooze. And then we get do you mind not meowing when I'm trying to look at this episode? Yeah, the shot of London zooming out. It's quite good, actually.
Yeah.
Except, effect of moving back in time.
That's the thing I understood.
Yeah, it doesn't happen in later series. So why does... No, I know what Kirby means.
No, I didn't hear what Kirby said.
You only get this effect the one time.
Yeah, well, it's all right. I don't need it. How many times
it's
do
about,
you need to watch
it? This effect of them falling.
I don't know. That's all right. I think for this one-off occasion, I think it's fine. I don't think really want to see this every time the TARDIS dematerializes, do you?
You're right. We don't want to see everybody fall down and go unconscious.
No, it's just the Doctor's face what's going on? Basically, there's a malfunction, isn't it? It's not supposed to be like it is now. There's sort of something's broken on the TARDIS, isn't it? Because he's now got no control over it, and they don't know where they're landing.
Maybe this is how the Mercury leaks out the next story. Or
the fluid length, Kirby, get it right.
No, not it's not for the next episode, though, is it?
No, that's the
Daleks.
Yeah, that's the next story.
So it's got to be. I mean, it's been leaking out for the whole of the time that they're in amongst the cavemen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Must be.
I thought he removed it. I didn't know that it leaked out. I thought he removed it to keep them.
I think. Yeah, I know. I'm just.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, it's one of the rare times that TARDIS lands on a slightly wonky surface as well, and then there's a shadow. Oh, it's Matthew.
Ice Warriors lands on its side.
And the next episode, The Cave of Skulls. There we go.
That's true.
Now, that's the episode that kicked it all off for everybody. You don't have to talk about the end title sequence, but it's always good fun to watch that one. I don't really enjoy watching the subsequent three episodes, to be honest with you.
No.
But
I've only watched those once that I know of, but that I remember. But I'll rewatch An Unearthly Child. At a moment's notice. I'll just pull it out and start watching.
That's what she said.
It's a great introductory episode.
Yeah. I'd rather watch Silver Nemesis than the next three episodes of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, agree with you. Yeah, we did go off on a few tangents, only because that episode has quite a lot of dialogue in it, so it's difficult talking about stuff when the characters are... But it's not very action-packed, is it? So it's very sort of drama-based, that episode.
Yes.
Oh, but still, it's kind of exciting and different and unusual. Yeah. And like I said, the Doctor is threatening but nice. I mean, it introduces a lot of things that make it interesting.
Yeah, I must admit, you know, he's not a likable character at all, but I'm glad that he became one. You know, otherwise, I don't suppose the series would have had a long life, really, if the main character of it was a really annoying, horrible person. So.
Right.
Okay. Anybody got anything to say about that before we move on to Nilva Semitis?
I thought we were going to watch the Night of the Doctor.
I never said we were going to watch Night of the Doctor. Oh, for God's sake. I suppose we could do, but that means I've got to go and find it.
Yeah,
now.
You did say we were going to discuss it.
I said we're going to discuss it. I said we're going to watch it, but I wouldn't mind watching it again.
No, I said, whatever.
Really? What did you say?
I said whatever. I don't remember you saying that.
I like that.
You're moving on to Silver Nemesis without even discussing Night of the Doctor.
I know, but I was all right. We could have discussed it any time. But now you've mentioned it, I really want to try and watch it. So I'm going to try and find it. It's on YouTube, listeners. If you haven't seen Night of the Doctor yet,
you didn't download it.
Why can you download it? Where can you download it from?
Well, if you've got a YouTube download, you know how.
Oh, I just click on the YouTube's link and watch it. That's all.
And me too. I didn't know you could
download
it.
If I were to do that, it would stop.
Is it still on there? Because
of course it is.
Is it still on there? Because the BBC removed it when I had a look.
Did they?
Or blocked it? Yeah.
They did?
The BBC blocked it because it's copyright.
They put it up. They put it up in the first place, didn't they?
Yeah, it's still out there.
How are you going to watch
it then? It was the Children in Need. It was the Children in Need thing that was
taken down, yeah. Night of the Doctor's still up there. It's a mini episode.
Help me.
Can you post me the link then?
Oh, for goodness sake.
Go to YouTube, Night of the Doctor.
Hang on, I'll put it back on. It's actually on our website, and not on the website.
Yeah.
On the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. It is actually there.
Yeah, because I'm not like Kirby having lots of windows open.
Are you having a little bicker? Oh, I do like it when you lot bicker.
Well, and it used to be on the Doctor Who news site, but it's gone, so.
Right, okay, here we go. What's his name?
Go to YouTube and go to the BBC.
PM'd you the link.
Thank you,
Ed. Has everybody else got the link?
Not to send it.
Oh, I downloaded it immediately.
I don't know about downloading. If you can download it, I'm quite happy to. Right then. When you're ready,
I've downloaded it, but it's not on my... It's on my external hard drive.
When you're ready, Robert.
In here.
Have you got it at hand,
yeah,
Mary?
I've got it on YouTube.
Okay, yes.
Have you got it at hand, Kirby?
I'm already 2 minutes and 36 seconds into it.
Oh, shut up and take it back to the beginning.
I've started and then stopped the sound. There we go.
Right, I've took the sound down. I've got closed captions on. Oh, no.
I mean, I don't think that it's so short. There's no point in actually commenting on it. But go ahead and watch it. I guess we'll comment.
Are we watching it or not?
We are watching it. I'm just waiting for Robert.
I'm ready.
Right then. 3, 2, 1, play.
Help me, please.
Playing with
Can
sound.
Can anybody hear me?
Please stop saying something on warship.
Yes, warship? Of course, this is in the middle of the Time War. Or is it at the beginning? Or is it before it?
I like the computer telling me. But the medical practitioner.
It's around during it.
Now, how many people... How many people went, what?
Yeah, I know. Paul McGann.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh,
I did.
God, when how
I
superb.
Mean,
when I thought a doctor would appear,
Kirby,
I thought it was going to be Matt Smith.
Kirby, I did because I had it spoiled.
Oh, did you? I didn't have it spoiled, and I didn't know. And I was absolutely
no, I
thrilled
either.
To bits. Even though, actually, I didn't know. I saw something on there.
Can
saying,
I
oh,
explain oh, why? Oh, because I oh, had oh. a slow...
Yeah, go on. Go on.
I had a slow internet, so I couldn't watch anything. It was so slow that nothing would buffer, and I couldn't load a page up. So I had to wait, and by that time I had been spoilt by a forum.
Oh, I see. Well, I saw somebody said something somewhere about McGann Doctor, but I didn't really realise it was this and how fantastic it was, and it was actually McGann being the Doctor in a new mini episode, and... It's something I've always wanted to see, and it's really thrilled me to. It's been done so well.
And I thought he was in like a new outfit, but he's not. That's
so the Time Lords already have a bad rep at this stage.
Lord Byron outfit, but it's all kind of, you know, I don't know, the neck is open and the tie is on the inside, and he just looks like he's been through a war in that outfit.
Well, this is,
but his hair is shorter.
This is what's
it's
so
Wild Bill
about.
Hickok.
Yeah, Wild Bill
Hickok. It's not Lord Byron, it's Wild Bill Hickok.
I know,
it's
but
Bill
he looks Hickok. Like Lord Byron with that
and
long hair.
And here we
hair.
Are with Cass deadlocking the door, whereas a few years ago, deadlocks didn't even exist.
Yeah. I know, that doesn't matter. Yeah. But the fact is that this is great because it does so make sense that, you know, the Doctor would not wipe out his own race. So it had to be and something weird. Yes, go on.
And remember the night before we were speculating over whether or not this was Karn, and I was so happy that it turned out to be.
Yeah. And of course the TARDIS crashes big time. Is it the TARDIS crashing? Because he's actually in the wreck.
No, that's the spaceship.
Oh, the spaceship.
The ship, but the TARDIS is on it.
Yeah, yeah. But
he just didn't go into the TARDIS.
Oh, he didn't, but it didn't kill him. So that proves the Time Lords can fall from a great height.
But he died.
No, he died.
He dies.
Well, how come he's still alive then?
They brought him back to life for four minutes.
Yeah, that's an eternity. Get me some knitting.
Wanting to life, it's a temporary measure.
What? I don't understand that bit. Why did they bring him back to life for 4 minutes?
Adam?
Yes?
They said we restored you to life.
For 4 minutes, yes, I saw that bit.
Temporarily.
But
they
why?
Want him to regenerate.
Long enough so that he could take the potion.
Come
on! Oh, I see. Basically, so he's dead and he's got very little choice than to do what they want him to do, is become the warrior doctor.
Correct.
Right.
Well, to regenerate to anything.
Yeah.
Man, woman.
Yeah, but they want him to be a warrior. And he refuses.
Initially. No, he makes the decision.
Yeah, he chooses that.
Yeah, but then something makes him do that, doesn't it?
No.
No?
She makes up the potion, but they're all holding
But isn't the potion some
potion.
Sort of elixir of life? Because they are the sisters of thingy, aren't they?
Yes.
Sisters of
the eternal flame.
This potion, is it the elixir? Yeah. Or has it got some of the elixir in it?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Every one of these has the elixir, but each one is slightly different, so he can choose what he wants. And it's the fact that he makes the decision because of Cass. And
so is Cass the companion from the Big Finish stories?
No.
Right.
No, he even says she's not a companion.
Mm. Oh.
So is she dead?
Yes.
She's dead.
Do they bring her back to life?
No.
Right. Now, what got me thinking, if they're giving him this elixir, but he regenerates, that I'm getting a bit confused by. The fact, has he chosen to regenerate, or has the elixir made him regenerate, or is it a poison? What is the elixir
makes him regenerate, but it's the kind of Time Lord he wants to regenerate into as to which elixir he chooses.
Yes.
It's a riff on the ability of Romana to decide her appearance.
Oh, right, okay. Because, well, you know what made me think about this? This is the elixir of life, right? And they're saying, oh, the Doctor's only got a certain amount of regenerations. But if one of his regenerations was given by the elixir of a life, does that not give him what?
More regenerations?
Possibly. I just got a text from Matthew. It says, and I quote, "Ah, oh, crap, hold on."
Oh, so this is where he mentions all his companions and that. Oh, I really must watch this properly again. But it's just, I was hypnotized
by audio,
it. It was
big
so fantastic just watching McGann on screen as the Doctor again.
Yes.
And, you know,
he's so good.
He was a good Doctor when he was in the film, but he's out of this world in this little thing.
He's even better
and
now.
There's a petition online.
Yes.
And Ben was absolutely furious. He didn't actually get to see the full regeneration, but I mean, I quite like.
I have no problem at all.
But you do. You see it.
No, but what I'm saying is, I quite like the fact falls down. He doesn't do the standing out with his arms in the air like the.
Yes.
You don't see him morph from one end to the other. That's true.
I'd like to have seen that. I grant it, but I quite like the way he's fallen down and regenerated, like they did in the.
Yeah, but they've got to use that old image of John Hurt, and that would be kind of hard to do.
And they made a big fuss. Somebody said, the money they spent on making John Hurt look younger. No, they didn't. They took a screen bite from I, Claudius, and that's all it is. It's just a picture of him and just a little bit of retouching done. That's all it is.
Right.
Brilliantly done. There you go.
And like I would think, though,
that if he chose Warrior. I would think what he would regenerate into would look a bit more like Idris Elba or something. Somebody who looks like a warrior, not the young John Hurt who looks like a little wimp.
No, do you know what he reminded me of? Something from The Lord of the Rings, like Frodo Baggins or something like that.
Yes, he did look like Bilbo. He looked more like
Bilbo. Bilbo. Yeah. Yeah. But,
Gollum?
How fantastic.
Yeah, I would think the warrior doctor would look a bit more impressive.
Yeah, but it was just last week
I was saying we've got to have a better name for John Hurt's character, and now we have one.
The War Doctor. Hmm.
Although that's using Doctor, and that's using the name Doctor, though, and he's not the Doctor.
He's not the Doctor. It's the War Doctor. So it's not in the name of the Doctor. It's in the name of the War Doctor. So it's right.
So... Well, maybe they'll come up
moment
with
of the week.
No, but
maybe they'll come up with something better for
War Doctor is not Doctor, is it?
The show's on next week.
I'm saying War Doctor
but
isn't
it's got Doctor in it.
John Smith isn't Doctor, or Dr. John Smith isn't the Doctor.
Fight.
Anyway, right, so.
Is
there anybody, apart from Ben, who wasn't absolutely swept away by the joy of that particular mini episode?
Oh, it just made my day.
Cyber Leader. Excellent.
Oh, Matthew's online.
One of the best things ever in Doctor Who. So fantastic.
Matthew's online.
All right. So I agree with the petition, which I've signed, excuse me, to force Moffat into making some more McGann.
Matthew's online.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, then there's also a posting on Facebook by Reese. About 10 minutes ago, and he says, I'm getting a can-I-have-this-week-off feeling. Feeling sleepy.
Sod. Hello, Matthew.
Well, that makes two of us.
Right, we've got up to the stage. Where
have you been?
Did we wake you up?
That was all gone quiet.
Well, I just happened to roll over and saw I had 3 text messages from Kirby and suddenly saw what time it was.
We've been at it for 45 minutes.
Don't tell him that's what she
Images
said.
Images of Kirby.
Anyway, Matthew, we've got up to the
I
stage.
I do apologize.
Where I just want you to tell me what you thought of the little Paul McGann episode. Is it the Night of the Doctor?
Yes, it is the Night of the Doctor, and it was excellent. I think part of it is that we as fans have waited for a very long time to see more Paul McGann in action outside of the novels and particularly the Big Finish audios.
Which now becomes canon.
It was a indeed, which is part of the reason why, part of the reason in particular I was so excited about it. I actually had laid down to go to bed and saw that they were going to have the thing online about 30 minutes, so I just stuck around for it and then had to go spend 2 hours trying to figure out how to go to sleep afterwards.
What's online?
Night of the Doctor.
Thursday morning Thursday morning U.S. time when it went online, because I was laying down to go to sleep.
Oh, the Night of the Doctor?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the night it went out.
Well, it would have been...
The morning it came out.
Morning it came out here.
Yeah.
And when Paul McGann showed up on screen, I'm surprised he didn't wake up everybody within a half mile of me at that point.
Oh,
that
was so
fantastic. Me too.
Can we have the reaction, Matthew? What?
Something along those lines, but probably slightly more high-pitched.
A girlish squeal?
I believe the phrase that you're looking for is squee.
Yes.
I think Kirby posted squee.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, but it was excellent. Paul McGann, absolutely brilliant. And as much as we criticize Stephen Moffat for some of the things he's done, he packed a lot into basically a little under 7 minutes.
6 minutes or so, yeah.
Yes.
And did it a very effective job, I think, of did a very effective job of tying a lot of things together. And the man just made at least the Eighth Doctor big, you know, big finish stuff canon. So I couldn't be happier about that, to be perfectly honest.
It will be interesting to see, because obviously only most of us are really happy with this. Ben isn't. So I'll be really interested to hear what Ben or why Ben doesn't like it. And we'll wait for Ben to say that himself later on. Right.
The evening that it came out, Fred and I watched the Brain of Morbius, because she hadn't seen it before and she really liked that, because she was wondering about the sisterhood.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's pretty good. Anyway, right.
And you know, the Brain of Morbius brings up a whole lot of questions about regeneration as well.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Right.
I'll be posting a picture of my new Dalek.
You'll be posting a picture of your nude Dalek.
Was that just a
new Dalek?
That's close.
Oh, well, we saw a new Dalek last week on the Five Doctors, didn't we? Right. Hello, Matthew.
You remember I posted
Hello
a
again.
Picture of the Dalek sculpture that Fred
All
created.
Yes.
And she has now painted it, and it's gorgeous.
Ooh.
Excellent. Excellent. Right then, shall we get on with Silver Nemesis while I've still got a breath in my body?
No!
Yes.
Right. Okay, we have to start off. I quite like the sort of when we sort of were in South America in 1988, November the 22nd. I quite like the way that looks. The old computer screen's a bit naff, but yeah, this was mid-80s. Actually, it should have been a bit better at the late 80s, because I was starting using computers in those days, and we had slightly better graphics available to us. And then one of my favourite bits is when we're in Windsor in 1638. I do actually like these two characters, Lady Painforth and Richard. They're a bit hammy. They're a bit sort of Shakespeare.
Do you know
what?
That Gerard Murphy just died recently.
Yes, I did know that, because we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago. And again, those are very well represented, these sort of
Leslie French, the mathematician, was considered for the role of the first doctor.
Yes, he was, and that's why they had him in this episode.
And he also was the body model for the for Ariel, on the front of Broadcasting House.
Well, I didn't know
nude.
That. I didn't know that, but thank you for that.
Yes.
So, but he doesn't last long.
It's in the info text.
Yeah, thank you. He doesn't last long in this particular episode, because Lady Painforth very quickly does him in. Then
isn't that mean?
It is, yeah. Isn't it Courtney
but
Pine?
It did not. They did not make Courtney it Pine. Clear. It was not made clear.
I know
that why the blood thing and the killing. That's the first of my problems with this.
Okay. Good. Well,
my problems with
There's
this
a lot
are
of deleted,
my,
though.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But the thing is that you. Oh, by the way, which version are we talking about here?
I've got the
which
DVD person? Version.
Okay.
Which is the normal version?
Right.
Not the extended version.
Yeah.
The DVD version. I haven't got the.
As I said online, I'd have fewer problems with this story if it had been filled in.
Did they fill it in on the extended version?
Apparently.
What happened? Well, what happened? Well, it was a botched DVD of a botched TV story, as I said online. For reasons beyond understanding, despite the fact they had the extended edition previously prepared in 1993, and they had done extended editions of other stories, they simply chose not to do it this time. And then to add insult to injury in that regard, they didn't even copy over all the deleted scenes into the deleted scenes feature. Apparently they were on two tapes and there was apparently an oversight, so they only copied one. So you can't even go in and try and reconstruct it if you wanted to.
Mm. Okay.
And it's too bad, because I like large parts of this, but it's got so many funnels. 5 minutes in.
Should we talk about that at the end? Goodness gracious.
It's like here the mathematician is talking about he knows this whole 25 years and everything, except this is they're supposed to be in the year that the damn thing was launched.
Okay.
So how does he know it's coming around every 25 years?
Anyway, back to the episode.
Because he's a mathematician.
Never mind. Right, where do we go? Right, Courtney Pine. He played his instrument at Newport Minster Church.
Saxophone.
But anyway, that something happens and they get shot at and they have to leg it and have a swim in the pond.
And that was another thing. It took 3 watchings of this before I understood that those 2 guys shooting at them were being converted into Cybermen.
Okay. All right, Kirby. Take one of your pills.
You're pretty slow, Kirby. I'd only watched it and I figured it out the second time.
So anyway, the
I Ace thought that
should have been
thank
obvious
you,
the first
thank
time.
Thank you. Ace has been
it
given
was obvious
be
the
quiet.
First time.
Yeah.
Ace has been given a new radio with a sort of 3D globe viewing facility on it, which is a very snazzy looking thing. They've dried themselves
off.
Do
you know why they
quickly.
Did that?
Yes.
No.
It's a substitute for
they
the TARDIS
did that
console.
Yeah, they were because they were shooting it all on location, and unlike Delta and the Bannerman the previous year, they couldn't squeeze in some studio time for them to be able to use the TARDIS console and scanner, so they had to come up with a new solution. So here comes the Ghetto Blaster with the 3D scanners thing.
No,
okay.
Not bad idea. Right, the effect where they take the potion, the time potion, and then they move forward in time, the effect itself looks crap, but the where they The sort of cafe appears around them looks really good.
It's okay for its time.
Yeah. No, I'd like that bit. It's just that the actual squiggly lines look
well,
a bit bad.
Yeah, Chris Klopp on the commentary himself said something along those lines, and he feels, as I do, it works better in close-up, but when you go to the long shot of them standing in the house into the cafe or whatever it is, it doesn't work anywhere near as well.
Hmm. Now, that effect didn't bother me.
Okay, well, it did me. The spaceship scene that comes above the planet, that looks really good. And I think the reason why it looks really good is because it's lit very, very sort of low.
Yes.
You know, they haven't...
Eerily, moodily.
Yeah.
Although at the end, Fred was saying, oh, look, it's a flying turd.
So anyway, I think this is where Ace wears the fez, isn't it?
The flying turd was the little rocket with the statue in it.
Yeah, and the Doctor wears the fez too.
So that was a comet. Yeah. That wasn't a spaceship.
They have us nip back in time. They go back to Lady Painthorpe's place, but just after they've left, and they find the dead body, don't they?
Fine.
How come they didn't go back in time a bit sooner?
I know.
Do you really mind me skipping over stuff, Kirby?
No, we were just discussing that there was a scene where the Doctor and Ace both wear the fez, and the Doctor picks up a mop.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I didn't really jump over it because I was just saying that. But there's also a scene where there's a great big explosion.
Yes.
And then, because this is all building up to one of the worst parts of the episode.
Explosion?
Oh, we get to see Brigadier, don't we?
Yes.
Nicholas Courtney having a look around Windsor Castle at a long distance.
All of those people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all those people had something to do with it.
Yeah,
was he in the crowd?
Not
was
only in the Brigadier,
yeah,
but
he's
also
got a cap on.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I'll have to look for him.
This was supposed to be John Nathan Turner's final story, so they decided to get a bunch of writers and directors and a couple of actors, everybody who had the equity card who could show up on screen, including I think Fiona Cumming and Peter Moffat as well, to show up as kind of play the crowd.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And Nicholas Courtney is not quite clear in the shots that are used in the DVD version. There's
but you
a couple
can
of
see
shots
him in the deleted sections quite quite easy.
And yes,
right,
I was about to say
on,
that.
Robert. It's not that shocking. So they're at Windsor Castle and they go for a little bit of a poke around. The Doctor does a really cheesy.
That's what she said.
The Doctor does a really cheesy. I'll recognise that woman somewhere when he sees allegedly the queen with some corpses.
How many times has a fake queen been in the show now?
Oh, I don't know.
It was also in the Titanic one.
Was it?
Yeah.
By the way,
Can I point out that?
I'm just saying that the thing he's arrived, the nemesis thing. Didn't make a very big crater. Yeah. It just sort of wedged itself in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good, though. I like it.
Mm. Anyway, can I just point out a couple of things?
Yes, you can.
Going back to that previous scene, as much as Kirby and I have been quote-unquote feuding on the Facebook page, I will say that this whole sequence here is absolutely ridiculous. Why is the Doctor, who is the former scientific advisor of UNIT, who's been fighting alien invasion since 1968, 69, 1975, 76, 79, depending on which version of the UNIT data you want to work on, has to go to the Queen of England to get the armed forces to show up?
Yes, well, there you go.
That is a plot point that is completely inexcusable. There's also, if you look in the deleted scenes or on the extended version, there's a whole sequence that follows the final scene with the Doctor, Ace, and the security guards, where the Doctor, a la the War Games, pulls out his glasses and goes,
"Yes, I noticed that.
You will let us go. You will not lose us." And it leads into a cool little chase throughout the thing where they see a painting of Ace.
Of Ace. That was cool.
Yes, yeah, and she's like, I haven't done that yet. And the Doctor's like, we just haven't reached that point.
Yeah.
It's a really rather neat scene and sad that they dropped it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Doctor, this is in the past.
Yeah. I was so disappointed in that. And it would have just made so much more sense to left those scenes in.
Yeah, of course it would.
And they could have cut Lady Remington out entirely.
I agree.
But oh, no. Lady Remington is one of my favorite people in
this. We're supposed to be talking about stuff that actually was in the episode, not stuff that wasn't. That's the problem, actually. Anyway, this does lead up to the worst bit for me is when the Tybermen turn up and, what the are they, Doctor?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So annoying. That's one of the reasons I don't like
Cybermen?
Sylvester McCoy's Doctor, because this is what he used to do when he used to do that sneery thing, which he had such great difficulty doing in those days. He's much better now. He's really good now. But then trying to do his end of episode sneery.
Cybermen.
God, it's so annoying. And that's what
Sorry, Matthew. These look like the same kind of Cybermen we saw in the fifth.
They were
doctors.
Great, Simon. No, these have been shined up. They're proper silver. I think they look fantastic.
Well, their heads are, but I thought the main suit doesn't look nearly shiny.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But the heads look great. That's what I'm talking about.
The main suit seems to be
ready
the
for
same.
Cricket.
Yeah, it seems to be. Yeah,
the cricket gloves.
Yes, so I was about to point those out as well.
Right.
And the cyber leader still has darker pipes around his head.
Right.
Matthew, I think that we should not tell Sylvester that Adam doesn't like him.
No, I said I didn't like him then. Oh, shut up. He was great in his third series. That's what that's what made him a doctor for me.
Just teasing you.
I've pointed out before on the Facebook group, there's a line in one of the Big Finish Unbound audios where a character gets thrown out of a bar in Hong Kong for making racist comments. He's like, I'm not racist against the Japs and the Welsh. And I was listening to it last time going, that's like Adam when it comes to the Scots.
What? What's that got to do with it? It's not because he's Scottish. It's because he's just annoying. Tennant's Scottish and he's great, but... That's not because he's got a Scottish accent when he plays a doctor either. It's just up to it's his first two series. A lot of the time, he was just annoying for me. But I say in the third series, he was fantastic, and then they blooming scrap it just when he was getting good. Anyway,
Seventh Doctor is in my top half of favorite doctors.
It's right at the bottom for me, but doesn't mean to say I don't like him in general. But I'm not going to go around that road again. But that scene, there's no other doctors that do anything that annoy me in certain aspects of their portrayal of the Doctor. But unfortunately for Sylvester, although most of the time he's fine, there's certain things that he does that really annoy me and grate on me when I watch it. And even in his third series, there's one scene in Battlefield when he does fight like animals or die like animals, I think. No, that was Survivor. That was quite annoying as well in Survival. But
that's Survival.
Yes. All right. I just said it was Survival. Magic. Oh, he's not here. You're lucky. Just out pedantic.
Oh, you're thinking. Adam. You're thinking of. You're thinking of there will be no battle
yeah,
here.
Yeah, very very annoying again. But what I'm saying is that these are just little quirky things that annoyed me. But I'm not saying I don't like him. I just there's no other actor that played the Doctor did anything that annoyed me that would get me my teeth on edge sometimes That's why, yes, he's at the bottom of my list of order of favourite doctors. But as I keep saying, I like him as the Doctor. I think he does play a good Doctor, a mysterious version of the Doctor. It's just, I don't, you know, if you list him in orders of my favourite versions of the Doctor, he'd be right down the bottom. At the moment, he's the second bottom now because he's right above Peter Capaldi.
You have to play favourites?
He's right above Peter Capaldi because I haven't seen Peter Capaldi play the Doctor yet. No, you don't have to pay favourites, but I'm just saying, I was just trying to point out that that bit where he says, Sedgeman, shut up for Christ's sake, I can see that bloody time. It's really annoying. He doesn't have to say it like that. Yes, it's probably the director's fault, but it's bloody annoying. But anyway, as we continue, I'll tell you what, the spaceship looked great when it landed. I thought that was quite fantastic for its time. And then we come to the tough nuts.
Which landing? It lands twice.
The first landing, not the second landing. Although I think they did fairly good.
The second landing, you can see the rotor blades of the helicopter.
Yes, okay. I'm just moving on now to the tough nuts. I absolutely love these tough nuts. They're so funny.
Right.
The skinheads?
No, they're so funny. They're so
social workers.
Yeah, they're just so over the top. It's just and just made me laugh.
That's the problem. They're way too over the top.
And also the glowing bow. The glowing bow has done very well. I know how they did it. They coated it in a certain thing and shone light on it, but it did work really well.
Now that surprised me because I was looking at that and I'm going, how did they do that? And I didn't know until I saw the making of documentary how they did it. And it was really cool.
It was very cool.
How do they do it?
Same thing they did for Superman suits.
It was coated in a special reflective paint and they shone a light on it. But anyway.
It's very similar how they did the lightsabers.
Yeah.
And
the original lightsaber.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also very similar, also a similar technique to what they did to the Krypton costumes in the first Christopher Reeve Superman movie as well.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, back to the tough nuts. It's just he wrinkles his nose up. They both wrinkle their noses up and speak, and the sort of Richard sort of does a little bit of a.
It's ridiculous.
It's funny.
Yes.
Correct.
Ridiculous.
It's so over the top. And
it's not funny. It's ridiculous.
It is funny. And then they're tied upside down.
I like it. It's funny.
I find it funny.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was all funny.
It was funny. The way they're tied upside down and they're having their clothes pulled and stuff.
Yeah,
I thought they had what was coming to them.
Who did this to you? Social workers. It's just funny.
Social workers.
Is the social workers thing a joke? I figure it's a British thing.
I don't know what they're talking
late
about.
80s really. Margaret Thatcher era thing. Anyway, when Richard meets the llamas, what are these creatures? I just love it. I just love these little bits in there. It's nothing to do with the story, but
I did like the llama scene. I like.
There's so much good humor in this story.
But the trouble is the story is rubbish. It's just there's some really, really good funny scenes in it.
I enjoy it for the funny stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the two characters of Payne Fort and Richard are just great.
Again,
she becomes a bit of an over-the-top baddie in the end. But for the most of the story, she's actually very good. The Doctor actually
has that moment.
Yeah, she's fine for the first
two.
She acts better in this than Enemy of the World, though.
Yeah. Enemy of the World. I thought she was in
Keys of Marinus.
Keys of Marinus. That's
Keys
it,
of Marinus. Yeah.
Keys of Marinus.
Yeah.
What did she Keys do in Keys of Marinus?
She played the accomplice of the
Enemy
murderer.
Enemy of the World, though.
Was she? I didn't know that.
Wait, right? I didn't. You all talked over each other. What did she play?
Well, in Keys of Marinus, she was the girlfriend of the murderer, wasn't she? If I remember rightly.
Yes, at the very end.
The last two episodes.
Yeah.
Yes, with the beehive haircut.
I don't know if she was in Enemy of the World.
Yeah, something she wasn't in Enemy of the World, but she points out she was in an early story, and then they brought her back for the 25th anniversary.
Oh, there you go. Interesting contradiction there. Anyway, back to the story.
She was only in two stories, Keys of Marinus and Silver Nemesis.
Okay, we've established this. Don't worry about it, Robert. Don't worry. Doesn't matter. Now, I was just about to try and say about the seventh Doctor in this. This is the first, for me, the first episode or story that the seventh Doctor was starting to become this sort of manipulative, sort of mysterious character. They went a little bit too far with it in some ways with this story, and I'll explain about that in a minute. But I quite like what they were trying to do with him and what Sylvester was trying to do with him. But unfortunately, like I said, the director gave him these stupid bits. It's not his fault, but it was done very badly.
Gave him what? I didn't understand you.
Cybermen.
Oh.
It's crap, that basically.
When Adam doesn't like the sneering.
No, it's crap. Terrible. But on the whole, he's really, very good. But he's unfortunately got these traits that are very annoying. There was a slight trait of the sixth Doctor that used to annoy me, and again, it wasn't his fault. It was a line he was given. I am known as the Doctor. Or actually, sometimes he'd go, I'm known as a Doctor, which was also quite annoying, but not anywhere near as annoying as Sylvester's little things. And now, the rolling of the R's as well used to annoy me.
I like that.
Do you?
Okay. Now, the whole gold thing on this just absolutely made no sense.
Yeah. Well, makes the Cyberman go, oh, just because he has a bit of gold thrown at him. It's so annoying, John Nathan bloody Turner, ruining the Cybermen.
Well, you know something. Yeah, you know something was up because Kevin Clark and Andrew Cartmell give the Doctor the line, you know, a Cyberman killed with an arrow, but that's ludicrous.
Mm. Yeah, well, there you go.
But it was so inconsistent. And apparently in the original script, it would kill them, but it took time, which explains why the cyber leader at the end is able to remove the piece of gold.
Yes.
And to kind of recover, although that wasn't made clear at all. It's another one of those
coins.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be a coin. It was supposed to be the spiral earring from the circus one.
Now there's a bit,
but they had to make the change because of the reordering.
Okay, yeah, that was continuity wise.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. Yeah. There was a bit where he was able to say cyber warships without being so annoying.
Oh my goodness,
cyber warships.
Not quite as annoying as
Cybermen,
but still slightly irritating.
Cybermen,
you know, it's still for me. Shut up!
Now,
sorry, not you. I'm talking about Sylvester McCoy.
They did a great job with all the locations. Seeing that this is an all location story, using things around Arendelle Castle, like that folly that they turned into the tomb, and they really did well.
I like the scene. The scenery's great. But have you noticed now, the two cliffhangers, one him's going, Cybermen. And the other one going,
I need to make a ringtone out of that.
Yeah, I need to watch this again and listen to the way you're doing this.
Yes.
But anyway.
You didn't even notice it.
No, I didn't either.
Yes, but basically episode three, everything. The Cybermen have got strange sort of glass jaws. Is that some sort
of
synonymous with being easy to punch out? I don't know.
what do you mean? The see-through jaw?
Yeah.
They've had that for a while. They had it back
in
Earthshock.
It looks different than this one. It's got
slightly different. It's slightly different, but you've been able to see through it since Earthshock or maybe before.
So to balance things out, the silveriness of them looks great. I really do like that. Yeah, no idea what really happened. Not a lot happening here, is it, in this episode three? They have a ride in the car with Mary. Stop cracking over my jokes, thank you. They have a ride in the car with Mary. and then I don't quite understand what that was there for, but there you go. Yeah, go on.
I have relatives from around here.
During the cliffhanger, shifting between the second and third, that lizard... First of all, what kind of lizard is that? It's not a chameleon.
The gecko.
It's supposed to be. The doctor makes a comment that it's a chameleon.
It's not a chameleon. It's a gecko.
It's not.
It's not? What is it?
Well, I don't know what it is.
I just said it was a gecko.
It's not even a gecko.
It's not a gecko.
Why would it have to be a chameleon?
It's not a gecko.
Because he's not talking about the Cybermen changing.
What?
Because it came out from under a leaf. Yeah, it was cloaked by a leaf.
Doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter.
You can see what they were trying to do with it. You know,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. In the commentary, Andrew Cartmell and someone else were referring to the fact that it was supposed to be a chameleon. It was supposed to have... It was a commentary about things. The fact
well,
that
I don't care.
A very interesting documentary about
it worked for
cuttlefish
me.
And how they can blend into their surroundings better than chameleons. Yeah. So maybe they should.
Oh yeah, he says. Of course,
circuit.
It's so simple. Of course, it's so simple. They're shrouded.
Yeah, they're shrouded.
Okay.
So the only thing that's a bit of a disappointment is when the nemesis sort of creature thing sort of comes out and standing around, it does look a bit naff. Does look like a woman.
I don't think so. I rather liked it.
With her eyes painted black and stuff. I think it does look.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with it. It was
encased in the stone thing.
She was
all right.
She was very bright and glowing. I liked that.
Did right with
it's
that,
very but... 80s, and I liked the fact that it was the same actress.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
Ace, Lady Painford.
Ace is very good in these closing scenes when she's standing up against the Cybermen, and the Doctor is very good because he knows what's going on. He's got it all planned, and it's quite clever how it all falls into place for him, as he knew it would. And this is what I was saying about the way that the Seventh Doctor's character, as you got me talking wrong then, it's your fault. I'll start again. The way that the Seventh Doctor's character was developing now was going in the totally right direction. All they need to do was stamp out a few very bad habits that he had. Okay, Matthew? Thank you.
Well, and it was in this episode where I think there had to have been some huge cuts, because 1 minute the head German guy and his lieutenant both had the earmuff things on and they were being converted. Next minute, they're knocking over the Cybermen and ripping those off like they had no effect. It's like, well, what happened in between?
Yeah, there's a whole section that's been taken out.
Yeah, there's
Matthew can tell us.
Yeah, there's a whole, yeah. Well, there is a whole section that's taken out. I'm trying to remember, actually, I did have the timings down at one point. There's about 5.5 minutes worth of footage that was added back to part 3, just to give you an idea of how much was cut out, particularly during the sequence you were just talking about, which fills that out a bit.
Oh, one thing I did like about the Lady Pym, what's her name?
Painford
and Richard, is that a lot of their dialogue is in iambic pentameter. Which I thought was cool.
It's so funny.
Yes.
You listen to these podcasts, as I do, because I have to, because they're mine. When everybody can't remember the name of something, right, they'll be, oh, what was it now? And then one person will say the name, and everybody else, even though somebody's already said it, will come out and say it. What's the name again? Painful.
Adam.
Yes.
Because they're coming out of our mouths before
Adam.
We hear the first one.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's the Skype delay.
Oh, is it?
It's still funny.
It's
because
though.
Of the delays.
Yeah, but it's still funny, Robert.
Yes, it is funny.
Oh, don't get upset.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, and then then we come up to basically the Cybermen get blown up by Richard stabbing it in a chest with a poison arrow. It was poison to the Cybermen. It had gold on the end of it. It didn't look very gold. It just looked like painted because gold is shiny. And that was what? Hang on, let me finish. Lady Painford, meanwhile, has jumped for some reason into the Nemesis and gets all writhy and gets absorbed, I suppose, into the Nemesis thing, which is basically her image anyway. And then Richard and the Doctor and Ace go back to the house and have a little tea party and a game of chess. And that really annoying line, Doctor, who are you?
Jam session.
And she goes this
Doctor,
stupid...
Doctor, who? Who are you?
Yeah. Yes. God, so annoying.
That line would have worked so much better had they used the original music they were supposed to use on the scene.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, go on, Kirby.
I do like the, if you watch the making of documentary, which I posted links to the YouTube video of, I like the rehearsals where David Banks is wielding a hanger instead of a cyber gun. And they're rehearsing where he gets stabbed by the arrow.
Excellent.
It's funny.
Now, before I forget, I just wanted to say, right, as I say, for me, it's not the story. The story is rubbish, as face it. But there's some brilliant scenes, some brilliant characters in this thing, and some funny bits that aren't perhaps supposed to be funny, which for me, it's not. It makes it's not as bad as people paint it to be. It's certainly not the worst Doctor Who story. I quite enjoy watching it when I have to watch it, but there's just some very irritating aspects, mainly Sylvester's sort of bad habits. But the thing that annoyed me the most has nothing to do with Sylvester McCoy. It was to do with the fact that they tried to make the Doctor into some sort of god, and that really irritated me at the time I watched it, and still does now. And that, I think that was down to the writer, who tried even harder. John Nathan Turner actually got him to tone it down a bit. So annoying. Yeah. And also the fact that annoys me about this episode. If you don't look at it as a 25th anniversary special, it's not too bad. But this was their effort at doing a 25th anniversary special for Doctor Who, and it's an absolutely appalling effort.
Yeah.
Well, this was also the highest rated story of the entire Sylvester McCoy era as well. And it's just kind of like, you can understand why certain people look at the McCoy era the way they do. If this is the story they watched, and this is what they're thinking of think of it.
Obviously, I've watched all the McCoy era, and I know there's some good stuff there, and I know he's good in it. And that's why I don't say I hate him, to be honest with you, because there's lots and lots of really good stuff with him. And I really like what he was trying to do with the Doctor. He trying to make him mysterious again, trying to turn him back into Doctor Who. And he's great. I think certain things, it's just, like I say, it's a couple of annoying habits he has. But that doesn't make him a bad Doctor. So that's all I can say. I know, obviously, people don't like me for not sort of saying he's the best, but there you go. I wish I'd had a chance to meet him at the DW celebration, but... Other people with fast. I know it's shocking.
Well, all you have to do is come here next summer to Alabama, and you can meet him.
Yeah, right. Okay. Thank you. Anyway, so
yes,
let's briefly go around the table.
We can do Yeah,
I'd like to, but I won't be able to. Let's briefly go around the table. Go on then, Kirby.
I agree with you that there are very good scenes in this story, but the story makes absolutely no sense. It is not one that there are stories I will not go back to and watch ever again. This is not one of them. I'm not that negative about it, but I just look at, and Fred was looking at me as we were watching, and she was going, "Daddy, why are you shaking your head?" And some of the absurdities, but there is some great stuff in it. So it's my least favorite of the McCoy era.
Well, I don't know if it's my least favorite. My least favorite, I'll have to think about that one, actually. I don't like Happiness Patrol that much, to be honest with you.
I actually like Happiness Patrol.
As much. No, I don't know. I don't like
it. I would put Happiness Patrol below this.
Yeah, I don't like the Candyman. I think it's absolutely absurd.
Can you say that correctly, please?
What?
The Hap.
Say the name of that correctly.
I just said it. Penis. Right, Robert, you have a go. Today.
It's pretty much a remake of Remembrance of the Daleks, really. But
a poor remake.
I'll let that slide. But I quite enjoyed it. It's a bit of a romp. And yeah, quite enjoyable. I like the comedy. I like Lady Painforth and Richard. They're a good team, and Sylvester McCoy and Seventh Doctor are a good team as well. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, did you think the things that I found annoying were annoying, or did you just think I'm wrong?
A bit of the time.
Well, I'm wrong a bit of the time, or it was annoying a bit of the time.
Only a bit of the time.
Hmm. Okay, I'm not. So it was, like,
yeah,
I'm
as
right.
You say, the sneering when Cybermen.
That's annoying, but he had to do that on a few of his things.
Doesn't
like that.
Me. It's like
the Daleks. Anyway, right, Mary.
Yeah.
Well, I would not put this at the bottom of any list. First time I watched it, I will confess, I picked up on all the humor in it, which I thoroughly enjoyed, some of it unintentional, like the head German guy thinking that his little, you know, handful of gold dust was going to do anything to that Cyberman. But you know, I enjoyed the skinheads. I think the scenes with them were very funny. Mm-hmm. And I loved the line, you know, do you think the doctor will just waltz in here and give us the bow? At which point he actually does do that. Yeah. He pops right in and does that. And the scenes with Lady Remington, I thoroughly enjoyed because Lady Painfort and Richard are like an anachronism there from another time.
Yes.
And she is so full of herself that, you know, the humor of her is then offset by someone from our time, you know, looking at her. I mean, when she sits in that car and says, all things shall soon be mine, past, present, and future, you know, and Lady Remington is like, you know, that's nice, dear.
Yes.
I mean, it just shows kind of the ridiculousness of Lady Painfort and her overblown plans. So those scenes with Lady Remington, I think, are well done and show, other than scenes being chopped out so that there were actions which I had no idea, you know, why they were happening, which I already mentioned, I'll say I enjoyed this much more the second time through, though I probably wouldn't, you know, watch it again, you know, voluntarily. I wouldn't put it at the bottom. I would definitely put Happiness Patrol at the bottom.
Right. Go on then, Matthew, while we wait for Robert.
Best Doctor Who ever, right?
I've said before... Not quite. I've said before the McCoy era is my favorite, but I do willingly admit this story is a very mixed bag, to put it mildly. It's got tons of script issues. This was I'll be happy one day I'll actually get to do a review without getting interrupted.
Impossible.
Oh, I know. I think had it not quite followed so quickly on the heels of Remembrance, it, you know, wouldn't have been bashed, I think, quite as much as it has been. And I think
that's what she said. Sorry.
I'm just opening myself up to all kinds of jokes here, aren't I?
Yes.
Oh, I just love the words you use. Carry on.
Yes. Yes.
Welcome, Matthew. Welcome.
You said about bashing the bishop. Sorry, I mean, you said something about being bashed. Sorry, carry on. Where'd you get up to? Sorry.
I think Kirby and I agree far more than we disagree in places on this, because there's some inexcusable plot holes that I think me and him have both pointed out as we went along, and as well, in particular, I pointed out the whole business about why is the doctor, who's the former scientific advisor to UNIT, going to the Queen of England trying to get support, you know, military support for what it's
actually. I didn't think about that one.
That was the one. That was the one. The first time I watched it in 2007, that just leaked out at me, because I was sitting there going, "This what?" I mean, clearly they're doing it for the humor of the whole business at Windsor Castle and the Queen, but it logically doesn't make any kind of sense. And a lot of the logic in this doesn't make any kind of sense. There's, to a certain extent, there's too much going on. Even with the stuff added back in, there's too much going on. You've got the Nazis, who are never really fleshed out, and it doesn't help John Nathan Turner. For reasons that don't quite make any sense, they apparently threw a wobbly and tried to have them excise as many references to them being Nazis as possible, which makes no sense. I think there's actually a bit of part one that's actually cut out where the Flores is talking about actually having stood next to Hitler and whatnot.
And yet he toasts to the Fourth Reich.
Yeah, which apparently John Nathan Turner apparently kept trying to figure out a way of cutting out. They apparently told him, it's the end of the scene. There's no way we can cut it out. He just apparently just was like, fine, and moved on. But for some strange reason, he threw a wobbly about that, of all things. You know, it's the Cybermen's last classic series appearance, and they're completely underused, and the weakness to gold is just taken to ludicrous extremes, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
That said, every nemesis has a silver lining, and I think that is – I've been waiting to use that pun for years. And I think that silver lining is Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred, who I'm going to disagree with Adam a bit. I think they do very well here, and I'll – you know,
McCoy, I agree
it's
with you,
McCoy's
Matthew.
They do very well here, and they work particularly well as a sort of as a team.
I
like the scene. I think it's – in part two, when they're in the bush and whatnot, and the doctor's like, you're not carrying any Nitro-9, are you? And she goes, no, I do what I'm told. And she goes,
That's brilliant.
So he'll blow up that vehicle, and it's a wonderful scene.
I'm sorry,
scene.
I'd like to disagree.
I love that scene.
I'd like to disagree with you saying that I disagree. That's brilliant. They are brilliant. They are the stars of the episode, and they're supposed to be. All I said was there's a couple of annoying things that McCoy does. But they are clearly the stars of the episode, and they are still clearly the highlights of the episode. Obviously, among a few other little funny and enjoyable scenes, but yeah, those two are above, by far and away, as they should be, the best parts of it.
Yeah, and going back to Lady Remington for a minute that Mary had mentioned enjoying so much. I mean, I've always found that to be, you know, to be not only superfluous but downright cringeworthy at times. And it was over the top, which is what it was meant to be. And interestingly reading into it, they apparently originally tried to get Larry Hagman to do that cameo of all things.
No, that would be good.
I missed that.
Apparently he was. Yeah, I remember reading that somewhere. I don't quite know where. I'm hoping I'm not misremembering that. But, you know, those scenes are entirely superfluous to what's going on. And if we could have cut those 2 or 3 minutes or however long it is out and reinstated some of the plot, which invariably got cut out of not only this story, but also, as we've mentioned before, Ghost Light and later Curse of Fenric as well, because it was decided, you know, that Christopher Bidmead and others and Eric Sayward, who worked with John Nathan Turner, both said John Nathan Turner didn't understand storytelling. And given that he was the one making a lot of these edits to these stories, I think that's perfectly clear. And I think that ultimately the fact that there wasn't an extended version on the DVD release and that all the deleted scenes were not included on the DVD, I think does the story a great disservice. It's a botched story. Could have been better. Yeah.
And
could
it was
have been
our
worse,
25th anniversary story, and it was botched, and it's a disgrace.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered so much if this was one of your Common or Garden, you know, mid-season or mid-series stories that was just, you know, one of the Greatest Show in the Galaxy type episodes. You know, it wouldn't have mattered, but this was the 25th anniversary story, and it's a disgrace what they did.
Yeah, I almost think that this I almost think that this story needed maybe we think it's too long, or maybe we think it's too long or too short as it is. But it almost feels like
that's
it
what
needs
she said.
I knew that shouldn't have known that was cut. But it almost feels like it needs a fourth episode to give it that much more story for it to make more sense. And it also, I think, just to quickly just sort of sum up my thoughts, I think ultimately it's guilty of the same sin that Time Lash is. It expects it's a sequel to a story that's not available in any other medium, and it's confusing as hell as a result.
Yes, thank you, Matthew. Right.
A couple of things, by the way.
Yes.
Besides being the 25th anniversary story, it was also the 150th story.
Even more of a disgrace than I.
And by the way, apparently, J&T. And some of the other people involved with the production were out at the theater and saw Dolores Gray, and they asked her on the spot if she would be in it, which is why she ended up. And Sylvester was telling in the commentary how he was talking with her and her facelift fell. At one point, so they had to only film her from one angle, apparently.
Oh my.
Oh dear. Right then, thank you, Kirby. Right then, let's see if we can squeeze some feedback into the mix. First bit of feedback is from Jeff Waddle. Anagram: rinse vile mess. I'd like to rinse this vile mess down the plug hole of Rassilon. He's talking about, of course, Silver Nemesis, and that being an anagram of it. Thank you, Jeff. Andy and Dawn. God, how long is this one? I might have to nip out and get a drink.
That's what he's doing.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabytes. It's 16 minutes past 4, Sunday afternoon. I'm sitting at the computer, and I don't have a glass of wine with me. It's a bit early. I don't drink too much on a Sunday. We have wine with dinner. So I'll have some some tea cakes and read the papers. Right, feedback. Can't really talk about Silver Nemesis because I haven't watched it for ages, and to be honest, it wasn't that good anyway, was it? You know, I've seen it a couple of times when it was in first broadcast, and it just was pretty poor. I mean, so I think Reese commented recently that he was remembered to be in the anniversary story. It might have been Adam, one of you.
It wouldn't have been Reese.
But no, Silver Nemesis, nah, it wasn't an anniversary story. Didn't really celebrate anything, did it?
No.
But what I do want to talk about is the much more interesting news of this week and what came out and the thing that appeared on the iPlayer. Now, I was abroad in Marrakesh and I had an email from a friend, said, go look at this. Try to open iPlayer, it wouldn't. But then another friend, the lovely Dave Smith, sent me a link to it on YouTube, and I sat there and I watched, and probably, as you know, you probably heard the sound of a jaw dropping and hitting the table, as it probably did all over the world as people watched this, and there was I'm the Doctor but not the one you're expecting, and it certainly wasn't the one we were expecting, with the sudden return of Paul McGann 17 years after he first and last appeared. Interesting, is that the longest gap between appearances by a Doctor? I think it quite probably is. And it was absolutely stunning, because it did set us nicely into the War Doctor, as they called it. And that's interesting, we'd never heard that before. So again, this is Moffat really playing games with us, keeping things hidden away, then bringing them out. And then anyone can possibly complain about that. And then people moaning about, you know, why aren't we getting a multi-Doctor story? And we're getting that, and who knows what else we may guess. Now, what I didn't know, obviously, was I was in the country at the time, was how did people actually know about this? So I'd be interested if somebody could actually say on the podcast how this was made available, how people became aware that this thing was there on the iPlayer, cause assuming that's where it was. It wasn't actually broadcast. Again, don't know, because I wasn't around to watch it. But it was very cleverly done,
Doctor
I think.
Website
the way he said the Doctor's dead, and he's being regenerated by the Sisterhood of Calm. And my lovely wife, Dawn. And lovely Dawn. Say hello, Dawn. I don't know if you just brought me a cup of tea and a couple of tea cakes. So, and it says, keep calm and cuddle up on the mug. So I'm just going to, oh, that's better. Have a nice sip of tea there. Better than wine, I suppose, for me, isn't it? But what's interesting, the way that they were saying, you know, what if Cass were alive, what would she say? She would beg you to go out and do something. So the Doctor, in whatever form he was the key to ending the war. And presumably we are going to find out in Day of the Doctor what happened. You never know, we might find out what actually... Well, hopefully we'll find out what happened to the War Doctor, as it's called, how the War Doctor became the ninth incarnation. You never know, Christopher Eccleston might suddenly reappear. Doubt it, though. But yeah, so that's short and sweet. Hopefully that will prevent that cat being strangled at the end of the episode that we had this time round. I mean, I've just come back from Marrakesh, and they have the call to prayer five times a day. And the first one's at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not sure they'd prefer that to Adam's playing. Perhaps I should play my guitar to you one day. Anyway, to anyone who's going to the thing next weekend, I'm going on Friday. I've got a nice warrior ticket. Going with the lovely Dave Smith. Saturday we're having a party in his place, going around. So if anyone's around on the Friday, if you want to drop a message through Facebook, we'll meet up and have a beer. But anyway, enjoy it tonight, and be seeing you. Bye.
That's Andy Nunny, and yes, typically you would choose the Friday to go just to avoid me. But now he said about the this thing, you know, the fact that we didn't know about it until it was out, and so there's been the whole thing filmed, and it must have taken a while to film that particular sequence of McGannness.
It was the last thing they filmed on the last day.
Was it?
Yeah, they filmed it over the last 2 days of shooting on Day of the Doctor.
Well, that's interesting. But what makes it even more interesting for me is that Eccleston, oh yeah, must be doing something. Oh, no, I'm not doing anything at all. Has he, very secretly, like McGann, filmed something? Just a little cameo.
You never know.
Let's hope so. But, I mean, we never would have dreamed they would have done this. So, who knows?
I could have dreamed that they would do this. No, they just put a veil of secrecy over the whole
surprise.
Thing, haven't they?
Well, yeah, I know McGann was quite willing to do so, and maybe Eccleston isn't, but something could happen. I mean, it seems a bit, you know, they've just shown a regeneration from McGann into the War Doctor. You know, it seems a natural progression to do the War Doctor into Eccleston.
Right, since he comes right after
the Time
War.
See what happens. It'd be lovely if it does, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, more feedback.
Yeah, while we're talking about this...
Let's hope.
Carry on.
Well, Matthew? Did anybody mention the... my Skype dropped off for a second.
That's fine.
Did anybody mention the little Facebook Facebook page and campaign that one of our listeners started.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Right, moving on.
Okay.
Right. This is yes. audio feedback from somebody we know.
Hello, 20 Minute Podcast. This is Inkirk. The publicity photos for the five doctors used the waxwork of the fourth doctor. I wonder if it's still around. Only another week, then the doctor will see you now. Or rather, you will see the doctors. The story about a remote town in Nigeria providing copies of old Doctor Who episodes sounds a bit suspicious. Could it be they were actually stored by the NSA? I'm not saying anything. On last week's 20 Megabyte podcast, we had a quote from Stephen Coburn, saying he was annoyed that Doctor Who is still on the air. It sounded like he was channeling Christopher Eccleston. Silver Nemesis by Kevin Clark.
Yes.
This is the 25th anniversary episode.
Yes.
The Silver Anniversary. Hence the title.
Yep.
They wanted some of the royal family to appear, but they had to settle for a queen lookalike.
What, Freddie Mercury?
The party of tourists at the castle includes some actors and crew, although they cannot be seen much. A group of Nazis are looking for an old weapon in a tomb.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but it seems there are still six Cybermen, however many get killed by a gold-tipped arrow.
Yes.
Ace has a gold spiral near the left shoulder of her jacket. This is an earring that Ace found in the story, The Greatest Show in the Galaxy. A bit of a continuity problem. A silver nemesis was made later, but shown first.
Yes.
At one point, Ace is desperate for more gold to use on the Cybermen. Perhaps she could have used the earring.
She was supposed to.
The Doctor Who Appreciation Society had three nominations for Best Villain that year. Lady Painfort, the Chief Clown in The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, and Davros, the Chief Clown one. The time travel portion was a bit odd. I suppose it legitimates the prison scene in the 10th Doctor's era, where the Master was brought back with a potion.
Yes. More potions.
Without more than one Doctor, an anniversary episode does not seem all that special.
Bye for now.
Oh, by the way, that was Ian Kirk.
Thank you, Ian.
Right, that was
thank you.
How was that, really? Let's see. Oh, my thing gone. Let's see if there's anything else I can talk about before we leave until Mr. Shoveler appears, and then go to the Doctor Who celebration while you lot put your feet up and just imagine being there.
Well, many of the rest of us are planning on going to smaller celebrations. I know I'm going to a celebration being put on by the Timegate people here in Atlanta.
Yes.
And I will try to get some recordings from there. And Matthew, aren't you going to some special thing?
I'll be going to the 3D screening of it on the 25th, but I'll have to settle for watching it on TV on the 23rd. But very much looking forward to the looking to seeing it in a movie theater. Actually, we've actually found out through convention stuff that they actually had to move it into a bigger theater to accommodate everybody, the demand, and then had to open up a second screening to try and get everybody in. So,
there's no gathering. I thought there was some sort of gathering in Huntsville. Although there was the thing you went to yesterday.
Yes, that may be what you're thinking.
Okay.
I think we did consider doing something, but I think it was it ended up being a circumstance that it just seemed like it would be easier just to, you know, put on the convention itself, you know, let alone trying to go through the logistics, particularly with only, you know, 4 or 5 months to try and throw a whole one day event together.
Well, you should drive over here to Atlanta. It's only $10.
Well, I considered it, but I'm going to Chicago a week after that. I kind of need all the money I can get.
Excuses. Okay.
Right then. So
I, I, I am disappointed that Thanksgiving fell the weekend afterwards this year instead of during the convention itself, which is kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Indeed. Right, moving on. Right, so news. Adventures in Space and Time trailer, which is only 30 seconds long, but very... Oh, dear, are you all right, Robert?
Where was that? You got a link to that?
Yeah, if you go to DoctorWhoNews.net, you'll find there's a link on that thing to an adventure in Space and Time, the trailer. It's only 30 seconds long, but it's very exciting nevertheless. There's been the Science of Doctor Who overnight viewing. I did fall asleep, but it was very interesting. But it was late at night. That's why
but you fell asleep.
I did fall asleep. But there were some specially shot scenes of Brian Cox with Matt Smith in the TARDIS, which were very well done. I think he could get away with doing a bit of acting. And quite funny as well. And some of the experiments they did were funny, but not that much to do with Doctor Who, but it was still worth watching. There's a new thing that's going to appear immediately after Day of the Doctor called the Doctor Who Live After Party. Deb is very disappointed that it's not going to be straight after the screening at the event we're going to, because she thinks, well, makes sense it would be, because all the stars are there. Yes?
May I say something? There is speculation that's when they're going to announce some new found episodes.
That'd be nice if they do, wouldn't it? But nevertheless, we won't see it because we'll be leaving the screening to travel back to the hotel. So I'll have to either watch it on the iPlayer when I get home or try and download it to my iPad and watch it in the morning. But so you lot might find out before me. One Direction, the English-Irish pop boy band, will also be joining the party as they gatecrash the show live from LA to wish the Doctor a happy birthday. Oh dear. Well, Isabella would be delighted. Day of the Doctor preview is also on DoctorWhoNews.net. If you the children in need, cometh the Doctor.
Yes, and this one works.
It does work.
I tried it.
It does work. Yes, indeed. Radio Times has done a little poll to list the best Doctor charts. So at this point, I can finally get round to replaying the old tune we used to do for the podcast charts. Sorry. In last place, with 0.88%. is Colin Baker. Then, slightly above him, with 0.9%, is William Hartnell. Sacrilege. Slightly above them, sacrilege again, Paul McGann, 1.35%. And 1.36%, Sylvester McCoy. That's again, should be put the other way around, but I might. Above the, McCoy is Peter Davison, 1.59%, with John Pertwee at 2.38%. And then Patrick Troughton at 2.86%. And I can't believe this. Eccleston, 6.59%. Come on. One series? No.
Yeah.
It's because a lot of fans now are only familiar with the new series.
And it's silly.
Which explains who got the top spot.
In the third place, Tom Baker with 10.05%. In second place, Matt Smith with 15.93%. Which I think is quite a good achievement for Mr. Smith to get up to second there, to go above Tom Baker. Because, of course, David Tennant, 56.1. The Fools. It's not the David Tennant show. It's Doctor Who, and he was one of 12 actors to have played the part. Moving on.
Yeah.
Right, what else we got here?
Yes.
Best Companions.
Yeah.
Best Companions, where's that? Yeah. Oh, that's on the other side. Yeah, the Best Companions.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, nice to see Sarah Jane made in second place, but Rose Tyler, the Best Companion?
No way.
No. Sarah Jane, the Best Companion. By a long, long way.
And Donna, I agree with Donna. Being there, Donna.
Yeah, Donna's third, but she should be above Rose.
And River. I like River.
Yeah. And River's good. Well, she's fourth. Anyway, what else we got? Overnight viewing figures for
This was the poll that was...
Hey? I didn't get that, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that this was clearly a poll that was voted on by the general public rather than fans, because I know Starburst Magazine ran a poll for fans, and I can tell you that the numbers were quite different.
But I think it's quite a good idea I think it's quite a good idea to run it for general public, though, because it just gives them more sort of wider sort of scope, doesn't it?
I was just going to mention that BBC Radio 4 Extra is doing a whole week of celebrations, including readings of two of the Dalek novelizations, but also a whole host of Big Finish stuff, including the very recently released Fanfare for the Common Men, which will be broadcast in four parts on Monday.
See, that's not fair for those of us who already got it.
Well, it was probably picked because it was a 1960, because the story is set in 1963, and it features, kind of, sort of features the Beatles, so it made sense that was going to be featured. I think it did take everybody by surprise that something that was released 2 months ago suddenly ended up, you know, being broadcast for free. But if it brings more people to listen to it, good for that.
True.
Good for that.
And I've only listened to the first two episodes, and I like it. I really enjoy it.
Maybe Adam will finally listen to it, since I've been trying to get him to listen to it since about September.
No time.
But it's about what if the Beatles were...
I'm sure it's very good. I've got no time.
How long is it going to take you to get from where you are to London?
I've booked that holiday well in advance, about 6 months ago. So I have time for that, because I booked it 6 months. Do you want me to book time out in 6 months' time so I can listen to this? I mean, no.
No, I'm asking. No, I'm asking about how long is it going to take you to get to this point on your trip.
Listen to it on your trip.
Thank you. Somebody got my point.
I have got four other people in the car.
That's what I just said.
Have everyone listen.
They won't want to listen to it. Isabella will want to play her iPod for the whole journey.
Yes, they will.
So ignore her. She'll have her
own
headphones.
That's fine. Tell them to put their headphones.
No, shush.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Tell them to put their headphones. You can listen to the story.
Quiet. All I can do is welcome the last three people. And that is Carl Triggs, Rick Stevens, good old Rick. I like Rick. Do you know why? He kept me posted in regards to the DW celebration so I could actually get a ticket to have my photo taken with Jenna Louise Coleman and get... what's the other thing he helped me get? Oh, yeah, the screening ticket.
Isn't it Jenna Coleman?
Yes, it is. Stop being pedantic. But thank you, Rick.
Are you wondering how to see the list of members by join date?
Yeah.
Yeah, you bring up the list of all the members, and then...
There we go.
The drop-down list shows members by join date.
Okay, right, should we do it by join date? Is that in reverse order, or...?
Yeah!
It doesn't, though.
Yeah,
it...
the most recent ones... Yeah.
Okay, so what we got, Sean Moore. Was that after Sandra Kressel? We did Sandra Kressel,
yes,
didn't we? Jignesh Gohel. I thought that we had them before last time.
We did mention these people before.
Yeah, then Angela
so
Rowley.
So it may have only been three.
Three. Thank you. Angela Rowley. Okay. Yes, Angela Rowley. Richard Costa.
Yeah, he's my friend.
Oh, you got one?
Disney
fan.
Oh,
isn't that lovely? A Carl Triggs.
Got a friend. Oh, excellent.
Rick Stevens, who's my hero. And Chris Miller. Rick Stevens, a proper good bloke. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, stop purring, Matthew.
I know. that would be in here.
Anyway. Right,
that's Annie. She's right next to me.
Okay, thank you very much.
Can I mention that at the event at the Athens Public Library I was at last night for doing their Doctor Who party, I did meet some people and actually got to talking. We may have picked up a couple of new listeners on iTunes because we got to talking. I mentioned I was doing the podcast. So, and one of them actually got out his iPhone and actually subscribed to the show on iTunes as we were talking.
That's
so.
All right to hear. Let's hope they get to buy my book as well. That's the... Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, available on iTunes and Amazon. Yes?
Adam, I assume you are taking plenty of photographic equipment next week?
Adam.
Yes.
Adam.
Okay.
And recording equipment.
Yes.
And tickets. Meanwhile, I'll see you lot. I'll see you lot. Not next week, but a little bit after that.
Yes.
Yes. And next time, make sure your internet connections are working properly.
I don't think Matthew knows that it's Tuesday.
Tuesday,
we're recording
Matthew.
On Tuesday?
Yes, because I'm...
Excellent! I can report from the video. I can report from the cinema screening then. Oh, that'll be interesting.
Lucky you, I can't see it at the cinema, but I am seeing it actually at the event itself. Oh, here comes Alicia. No, it's Alicia Magic. It's Alicia. You recognize she has lived here for longer than you have. Oh, do you want to say hello to everybody?
Aww.
Pardon? Oh, I've got a notification. What's the matter?
Hello. Piercing going? Hurts. I need to clean it tonight.
What hurts?
A piercing.
What piercing?
That one.
What do I need to go? Oh, well, because it's infected.
Is it?
I don't know. It shouldn't be hurting now. Mary, should Mary, should Alicia's...
Have a look at it. Is it infected? I can't see it.
She said it. Mary, should Alicia's ear piercing still be hurting after how long?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
6 weeks? No, it shouldn't be. No, that's an infection if it's that long.
She can't hear you. Say
oh,
that
no,
again.
Actually, no.
No.
This has a crusty bit around no. I need to clean it.
Oh, so she did one of those... Cartilage.
Oh. It's a cartilage.
It's not cartilage.
Echo.
Is it inside my ear?
See, in an ear bit.
What's it called? With a...
the, that's why she can't hear anything.
Yeah. My 16-year-old has one of those too.
Does she have problems hearing as well?
I'm getting a new piercing next week. I'm getting my tragus done.
No. Just yeah, because your mum doesn't want it to be done, specifically, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm getting my nose done as well. Love life.
Anyway, enough of that.
She's going to look back one day and wonder what the...
Yeah, she'll be like... looking like a sieve and wondering why she looks like a sieve, because she was so... just to be awkward as a teenager.
She's going to wonder why people don't hire her. So, are we ever going to discuss the 30th anniversary?
What? If you're referring to...
If you're referring to dimensions in time or disasters in time,
not at the moment. Anyway,
dear God, far longer that than is 13 minutes of my life I will never get back as it is.
It will be discussed one day, but not in relation to anniversary specials.
It does allow the Sixth Doctor to meet the Brigadier. I love that.
Yeah, that's good.
Spectre of Llewellyn More, Big Finish Productions 2000.
On TV.
On screen. In video.
Yes. Oh, forget the TV. Big Finish is canon.
And that was actually filmed just not long before I met old Sixie, actually. About a year before I met him. Actually, I met him in 1994. Might have seen a photograph that I posted.
Adam?
Oh, good grief. Yes! I told you, Robert,
you've
stop purring.
You've got two reviews on Amazon for your quiz book.
Oh, who's bloody slagging it off now? Anyway, thanks, Robert. I'm gonna go now because it's run on too long, and I want to try and get into the bathroom before Alicia bagsies it. Otherwise, I'm going to go to bed smelling and dead.
No, Mike dead. Bray and ex-Georgia.
Oh, dear, I dread to think what they've written.
So they've already been able to read it, huh?
Oh, God. I don't want to know. I know it's going to be bad. Anyway, thanks, everybody. I'll see you again after the anniversary special.
Yeah.
So, bye-bye.
Oh, yay.
Goodbye, bye. Fancy Dance.
Come with me.
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 Megabyte podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with you.
I'm delighted to welcome back to the show the one and only Mr. Ben Shoveler.
You say the one and only, but there are at least three of me because there are three Ben Shovelers on Facebook.
Yeah, but they're probably all you, aren't they?
No, they're not, actually. One's in Australia, one's in America.
Yeah, but there was two Ian Kirks on Facebook, and they were both members of our 20 Megabyte podcast group.
Ian Curtis?
Ian Kirk.
Well, the lead singer of Joy Division, who died in 1980. No.
Ian Kirk.
Oh, Kirk.
Regular contributor to the show.
Two things, Adam, to start with.
Yes.
Firstly, actually, three things. Firstly, hello to all podgrammers. Hi. Secondly, have you explained who I am? Because obviously, since I've been on, which is a long, long time now,
yes,
you've had a lot of new listeners to your podcast. And so people might be sitting there thinking, who's this Ben chap?
Yes,
so
very,
if you haven't explained who I am, then people are, you know, they're just going to think I'm some random who's been picked up off the street or something, when clearly you and I know that's not the case.
Okay, well, Ben used to be on the podcast, and still is from occasions when he's not coughing in the background.
Sorry about that. Big bit of flair.
But his arguments with Reese just got too out of hand, so we had to kick him off. No, that's not how it worked.
It was kind of that, or kind of me getting a job, wasn't it? Because
oh, yeah,
I was there right. Well, not, I wouldn't say right from the start, because obviously this is something you started with your daughters. Mm. and a little bits of contributions.
Yeah, you were on before, before Kirby, weren't you, if I remember right?
I was the first person you had on. I started on episode 30-something or other.
Yeah. Never listened to the show either. It's quite funny, really, isn't it, how that works?
Do you know what? Mm. I've never listened to one. Despite my lying, saying that I have in other ones.
I can guarantee that
no, that's
you've
not
missed
true.
Out.
That's not true. I have actually listened to some of one.
Mm.
But I think it was probably the only one that I'd sent feedback into to hear myself the podcast. You know,
well, you would have heard yourself on the podcast anyway, wouldn't you?
Well, I could hear myself on the podcast, but I can't see my name on any Doctor Who quiz book.
Yes, that's because I try to share out mentionings on my books. And as you were actually a character in From Troy to Man and got 6 mentions during a fictional book, I thought that was a bit...
fictional. It's fictional. Fair. Not you know.
Well, I'm pretty sure you got a mention on one of the dedications of one of the other ones.
I'm pretty sure I gave you a comment for your first book that went on
the back cover. Yes, indeed.
Well, actually, should we tell the story about that? You phoned up and you said to me, would you mind doing a comment for the back of my book? And I said, write what you want and stick my name on it. And you did.
No, actually, Chris Carolyn from Apex Publishing wrote that and stuck your name on it.
Oh, well, I was very pleased with the words that someone wrote for me. I was very pleased with it. But anyway, so that's who I am. I used to do the podcast years and years. It was literally 2.5 years ago, probably, I started.
Yes, you got us publicised on BBC Radio 2. This time, you completely forgot.
Well, you know, I like sharing out my hellos to people and making sure that I'm sure I said hello to you last time I was on, Adam, and that seems to be the way we do things around here.
Fair enough. Right then. Doctor Who, you're probably unaware of this, but there's a 50th anniversary coming up soon.
Of what?
Doctor Who. This is a Doctor Who podcast.
Oh, I thought this was a toast-making podcast.
I'd like if it was, because I'm getting a bit peckish at the moment. No, it's a Doctor Who podcast. Now,
what's that then?
I was quite interested to see, that's Doctor Who, it's a TV show. Some of the comments you were posting on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
Because I do like that.
Everybody is reveling about this, and including myself. I mean, I've watched it twice now. I love it so much. The return of Paul McGann.
Oh, yeah. I'm so pleased. Seriously.
There are certain aspects of it you weren't particularly pleased about.
Shall I run through what I loved about it and what I wasn't quite
good
so
idea.
Keen on?
Start with the love bits.
Okay, well, loved it most, well, all of it up until the regeneration, basically. It was funny because that came out about midday, I think it was on Friday, that Paul McGann clip, that the Night of the Doctor. And because I'd been a bit busy Friday, I hadn't actually sat down and seen it was online until about 8:30. And at 8:30, when I'd seen it was online, I did that kind of thing that girls do when they see One Direction. I was just like, ah!
Yes, I can relate to that.
Oh, my God. And I was outside having a smoke, and I thought, oh, I'll watch it on my phone. But then I thought, no, even though I've got a nice, iPhone, I'm not going to watch it on that because the screen, although it's good, isn't that big. So I'll come in and I'll watch it on the telly. But, of course, at that point, it wasn't on the red button yet on the BBC channels in England.
Is it on now?
And so I thought, okay, fine, I'll watch it on the internet. I've got a decent laptop, screen looks okay, we'll go for it on that. And I sat there for the first 5 minutes. It was like, this is fantastic. And I've just thought to myself, at last, we're going to get to see McGann regenerate into, well, somebody.
Mm.
And, the whole, the lead up to it, the crashing of the spaceship and the Sisterhood of Khan coming out and rescuing him and bringing him back to life. And that some of the lines were in it were just so brilliant, weren't they? You've only got 4 minutes to live. 4 minutes? Ooh, what if I get bored? I mean, and the way he played it was just so good to see him back in the
character.
Well,
you can see, though, from the way he played it, that he's been playing the Doctor for the last, 8 years, is it now, on Big Finish?
Yeah, exactly. He's got the character down now. It's not as though he's fresh off the back of one, his one movie performance of the character, and they're just trying to blag it. He knows what his Doctor is, and he played, and it's just brilliant to see it on the screen. And it was such a surprise because of that liar Moffat saying that he wasn't involved, and then he came out, didn't he? Paul McGann came out and said he was devastated, I think the phrase was, not to be involved in the 50th. And of course, I think we've found out since that this was recorded in the last day or two of recording. I don't know, was it the Christmas special? I can't remember which one it was. But, and I say, I loved it all the way up until the... And I just feel cheated, as I put on Facebook, cheated of a proper regeneration. Because... basically, you know, when you look at Doctor Who, the main things of it are the regenerations. And, you know, if you go onto YouTube or anything like that, all the biggest clips are always of the Doctors regenerating from one to the other. And, you know, people make big videos of all of the regenerations back to back, and you just sit there going, wow, and some of them put new effects on it for the older ones. And then to get to the point where he kind of like doubles over in pain. Oh, and as I said on Facebook as well, the line, "Is it gonna hurt?" I just thought was very, very clever. Which, saying that, coming from Stephen Moffat, must mean it was very clever. I'll say that. And then up to the regeneration bit, and he glows yellow, and you get a little bit of flamey, fiery bit, and then it cuts away. Mm. And then the next thing you see is the sister coming in saying, "Oh, is it done?" And, you know, then a reflection of what looked like slightly computer generated John Hurt younger version.
Yeah.
Glancing in the mirror. I just wanted to see the proper, a David Tennant into Matt Smith or Eccleston into Tennant style regeneration. That's what, after all of these years of wondering and waiting to see something like that, to have it come in and kind of like get a half job of it. It left me really disappointed, actually. Mm. I know it's only a minor thing, and you know, that's filled in a nice big bit of the story for us. We kind of like now got a slightly better inclination of what went on in that time of the Doctor, if you like.
Yeah.
And so that really disappointed me. The other thing that disappoints me, and this won't be a surprise to anyone who heard me, you know, in the past, is I don't like what Moffat's done, though. I'm sorry, look, if you regenerate out of the Eighth Doctor and you regenerate into the Ninth Doctor, the middle bit has got to be a Doctor. You know, he's come from the character, he's regenerated from the character, he regenerates into the character. So to say that this one isn't a Doctor, he's a warrior, is just complete guff. And I just cannot buy that at all. Because, you know, I'm not being funny. How do we know, therefore, that there wasn't 15 other Doctors between the Troughton and Pertwee Doctors? We didn't see it.
Well, it could be. Well, basically what they're saying is that the War Doctor is a Doctor that he's refusing to acknowledge as himself because he wasn't himself while he was that incarnation, which is a bit like the Valyard sort of Doctor, isn't it? And I suppose any sort of gone-wrong incarnations of Time Lords.
Yeah, I wasn't keen on the Valyard either, to be honest with you.
That was not as well done as this was, the Valyard side of things. Really make sense, the Valyard side.
So, you know, what you're saying then basically is that what we're going to watch on Saturday is two Doctors and someone who's not the Doctor.
No, it's three Doctors, but someone that the other two Doctors don't acknowledge as being the Doctor, even though he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I have issues with that.
I think there's a hint to this at the end of the name of the in the name of the Doctor. Sorry, when John Hurt's first line, he said, "What I did was out of sanity," or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That is a clue to him, his character. I think in this that he wants to be acknowledged or forgiven for what he did and become the Doctor rather than the War Doctor or the Warrior Doctor.
But again, from what we saw from the character in the spaceship, I can't remember her name.
Cass, was it Cass?
Yeah, Cass, yeah. You know, when she had the reaction of, when she realised he was the Doctor, that was the TARDIS, and obviously the stories had been going over the universe of what the Doctor had been doing and blah, blah, blah. You know, she was then like, "Oh, no, I don't want anything to do with you, you're a Time Lord."
Hmm.
You know, and I've completely lost where I was going with that, actually. What was I going to say?
No idea.
Okay.
I was talking about John Hurt and his obviously, the stories about him wanting to become an incarnation of the Doctor.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, but he is an incarnation of the Doctor.
He is. He's a biological...
So, therefore, he's a Doctor. So, Capaldi's going to be the 13th.
He is going to be
the 13th. If not 14th, yeah. If not 15th, have a look at all the different kind of regenerations there.
Unless there are some other incarnations of the Doctor that he doesn't want to acknowledge that maybe were happening before William Hartnell.
You can't do that.
Why not?
You can't say he's not the Doctor because we don't want him to be. Or he can't say I'm not the Doctor because I don't recognise the name. Mm-hmm. I just don't buy that.
Yeah, but what we don't know is there could have been other incarnations of the Doctor before Hartnell, before he decided to call himself the Doctor. I think that's what they're trying to get at, that pardon me, I just burped then, that's terrible. That there could be... also, the other thing I think they're trying to go towards is the elixir made him regenerate into this warrior doctor. And obviously it's the elixir of life. It's supposed to make you immortal, isn't it? So that they could therefore explain away the limitations in the 12 regenerations thing.
Well, that's very interesting in itself now, isn't it? Because, you know, some of the stuff that Moffat's been writing over the last few months kind of does suggest that they've already set in motion, well, he's kind of already said they've set in motion the what needs to be done to keep Doctor Who going. I mean, everybody knows that they're not going to finish Doctor Who after the 13th Doctor.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, they're not.
But they do have to get around certain things like that. And it is a science fiction fantasy TV show, so it should easily be possible to do that, but it's got to be done in an interesting way. And obviously that's one way they could do it with the elixir thing. The other way is one I suggested a while back, that when River Song healed the Doctor, she gave him all her regenerations.
Cause we don't know how many she had. We don't know how many she had left.
Yeah. But
it could be six, it could be 10.
Yeah. But either way, that's a way of giving the Doctor some incarnations.
Yeah, absolutely. The other way, obviously, is that a lot of talk on the internet is about the, apparently, when the Time War started, the Time Lords gave all Time Lords a new set of regenerations.
Yeah.
So, therefore, the Capaldi could be the fourth or possibly fifth or possibly sixth again.
Yeah.
Depending on which way you look at it. That could
or
be one
the other way you could look at it is that the actual regeneration cycle was controlled by the Matrix, which no longer exists.
Exactly, yeah. So. And so, therefore, you know, if the Time Lords were looking over it to make sure that people, you know, the Time Lords didn't regenerate more than 12 times, as they're now not there, and the Doctor is the sole Time Lord. He can basically do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and also, they've never mentioned this in the new series of The Limitation.
No,
it's only been
haven't.
So that's another way things get around
that should be
it.
Irrelevant anyway, because it doesn't matter if they've mentioned it or not in New Who, because
well,
in Classic Who...
It does.
Well, no,
it doesn't, because it's since the Time War. That's what I'm saying, it's since the Time War. So he's not mentioned
it. In that respect, they have, but the fact that it was mentioned in... And it was a big part of the classic series.
It
they
was.
Can't now just ignore it.
They can't ignore
just
it, but
they haven't mentioned it.
But they've got the reason why they haven't explained it, or it's good they haven't explained it, because they can't say, have the Doctor, when he was the Ninth Doctor, saying, well, I can only regenerate 12 times, and then go and say, well, because of the Time War and being there's no Matrix, I now have it unlimited. The fact they haven't mentioned it, they've got that avenue to go down.
Oh, yeah, in that respect, yeah, they can play it any way they want to now.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even ever have to mention it again.
You could say, there used to be a limit, but, yeah.
Well, I mean, what's also interesting is that, as far as I can remember, none of the Doctors in New Who at all have said, hello, I'm the ninth incarnation of my, you know, I'm the 10th, I'm the 11th, I'm
there
the 12th.
There was you are the 11th Doctor to the 11th Doctor, wasn't there, if I remember rightly?
Was there?
I can't remember when, but I'm pretty sure there was.
We might need a clarification on that. If someone could correct the citation, that would be lovely. you might be right. Actually, that might ring a bell.
But
so if that is the case,
that's explainable. If he's still, if he wants to ignore the War Doctor as himself, then he doesn't count that as being a Doctor, because he didn't act like a Doctor. He didn't go by the ethos.
But it doesn't
of
matter
the Doctor.
If he...
Yeah, no, but that's what other people think.
To me, it doesn't matter if he went by name or not. He was a Doctor.
I know, of course he was. So the people outside looking in, but as him, as himself, he obviously has a mental thing in himself. He just does not... It's like having a black sheep of the family. You just don't want to acknowledge as a member of your family, so you completely block them out.
Yeah,
it's
but
like,
they are still a member of your family.
Yeah, but if you yourself want to block them out, and you want to say, I like you've got, so you fall out with your son, even though, yes, technically and physically they are your son, but you want to completely, you know, block them from your family, you'd say, well, I've only got one son now. You know, and that's it. I know that's happened. You know, you just completely block them out of your mind and out of your life. And they've had loads of dramas on TV where this has happened, and especially on things like EastEnders, where suddenly long-lost relatives have turned up because they've been completely, you know...
Shunned.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what the Doctor's done. He's shunned the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah, okay. Well, as much as I appreciate what you're saying there, and, you know, I do understand what you're getting at, the fact is, if you have 13 or 12 regenerations, 13 bodies, that was still a body. That was still a regeneration.
Yes.
And so therefore, you know, as I said on the Facebook post, as it was an incarnation of a doctor, whether he called himself it or not, whether he wants to remember it or not, whether he, you know, thinks that what he did was right or wrong in that incarnation, it still was an incarnation of the doctor. So therefore, he has to be the ninth doctor. Eccleston, therefore, is now 10th, 10th and 11th.
I tell you what, though, Ben.
Smith, 12th and Capaldi, 13th. It has to be that.
Do you remember when the 10th doctor met Sarah Jane? And she said, yeah, yeah. You've regenerated. And he said,
and he said at least half a dozen times.
Yeah, that if you count it, if you include, no, it is right, six anyway, isn't it? So it's Davison, Baker, McCoy, McGann, the War Doctor, that makes seven. I'll shut up.
No, because you're right, because he says at least half a dozen times. He doesn't say, yes, half a dozen times. That's six to you and me. He says at least half a dozen times. So therefore, it does, but it still means that he's Doctor number 11, Smith is 12, and Capaldi 13.
That is correct.
Although, as I just said.
But the thing is, though, we know, well, I'll tell you what, I'll fill in the gaps a little bit, because we know now, because we've seen a regeneration of sorts from McGann into Hurt. What we haven't seen is a regeneration from Hurt into Eccleston.
If it went from Hurt into Eccleston.
That's what I'm saying.
It could have gone from Hurt into a sheep.
Now, what I'm saying is, has Eccleston done a bit of secret filming like McGann did? Do you know what could have happened? Yes.
Do you know, I was gonna predict that we're going to see a lot more of the classic series, only little nods to them. I don't think you're going to have, you know, Sylvester McCoy running around or Peter Davison turning up as a big cameo. I think maybe tiny little cameos. I think we'll certainly get nods to the classic series, you know, like just see quick glimpses of them or something like that. But I do think we'll see quite a nod to the old series. And the other thing I wouldn't be surprised is that if there's some sort of actual proper scene with the First Doctor because of all the stuff with the Adventures of Time and Space.
Yeah.
And there's very little point in recreating all of that to such pinpoint accuracy, you know, and it's all been filmed around the same time. If you don't just, you know, insert a little bit of the First Doctor wandering around somewhere or something like that, wouldn't be surprised in that. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But,
we're talking about Adventures in Time and Space. There's been an Australian previews?
Preview, yeah.
That's been slightly different from the British one, which is quite good. No, 30 seconds long. Rhys Parton posted it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group if anybody wants to have a look at that. I sort of drifted a bit there. Back to this particular thing. I think that, because you were saying about, is Tennant the 11th Doctor and Smith now the 12th Doctor, which obviously is the case. It could be more, like you say, but I think if they insert a regeneration of, and they could do it digitally anyway without Eccleston being there, but of Hurt into Eccleston, then that makes it cast iron, because we've seen then the regeneration from McGann into Hurt into Eccleston, Tennant, and so forth. So there can't be anything in between. What we haven't seen, obviously, physically is a regeneration, and this is why we had that, you know, the season 6B thing of Troughton into Pertwee. We just saw Troughton disappear off into the distance, and then Pertwee come out the TARDIS in the next episode. So at least it's a slightly better scenario than that. But then, of course, this is why certain amateur filmmaking Doctor Who fans have actually inserted a few other incarnations of the Doctor between the second and third, as we see it.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we said, there's absolutely no reason that couldn't be the case. And obviously, though, going back to that time, they didn't even call it regenerations then, though, did they?
They didn't.
You know, they didn't know what a regeneration was. No. They hadn't made up the phrase.
No.
They probably hadn't even made up. I can't remember if they'd actually made up the even 12 regeneration limit at that point.
Regeneration came in Planet Spiders. That was when that. Was
that's when they started talking about it. So, you know, I mean, it's a shame that one was like that. But there is also a. I'm not sure if you meant this when you said it a second ago. There's fan people who have made the regeneration of second into third, like inside the TARDIS.
Yes.
There's a bit going around on YouTube, which is, you know,
very, very clever as well.
Well, yeah, it would be better if the bloke who was playing the Doctor, looked more like Troughton rather than Pertwee. But you know, because he kind of regenerated from Pertwee into Pertwee in that one. It looks a bit weird.
Well, I've seen one where John Pertwee is actually there, which is quite...
I mean, it's interesting, but this is my whole issue with Stephen Moffat in the whole of his reign as King Muckarupera of Doctor Who, is that although he claims he has respect for the classic series, the fact that he keeps on changing the history of Doctor Who says to me that he doesn't. And as I used to say when I was on it, he thinks he's being clever. But he's being overly clever, which makes it stupid.
Mm.
And a lot of the stuff he's doing is just ridiculous. I mean, as I said, if you're going to try and change the history of a TV program like that, well, firstly, don't. And secondly, if you're going to do it, you've got to make it seem like it's probably, you know, actually has happened and feasible. Mm. And as I said, you can't have someone regenerating out of one body into another body and then changing his name or refuting that regeneration. At the end of the day, it is still a regeneration, whether you accept the black sheep of the family or not. You still have got four brothers, even if you only see three of them.
Mm.
And so therefore, you know, him say, because he said, I've read an article that someone posted, I can't remember who it was, on the 20 megabyte Facebook page, where Moffat was saying the numbers aren't changing, the numbers stay the same, and, you know, because this is a war doctor.
No, I
nearly swore then for the first time on the podcast in 1.5 years.
No, I don't accept that.
No, rubbish. I think
the numbers will have to change. I don't think fans will...
Well, no, Moffat said they're not going to.
It doesn't matter what he says. He was going to say that...
Well, it clearly does matter what he says.
He lies, and also the first series he did, he was going to call it Series 1, but it's still Series 5.
Yeah, but that's just because he's got an even bigger ego than I have.
It didn't work, though. It's what the fans decide to call them, not what he decides. So if the fans decide to call the War Doctor the Ninth, then he is the Ninth Doctor.
I'm just looking for the post now, actually, on... we've had some very interesting discussions over the Facebook page. I think it's excellent having it. Well, what's this thing you've posted here about new episodes? When was that? Saturday? They've found loads more. They're just not releasing it yet.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the case.
The rumours are just changing the subject completely.
Yeah.
The rumours are that they've found 96.
Yeah, I just hope that is really true. But I have bought the 10th Planet with the animated version, which is very frustrating, so I'll have to buy it again.
Some of them aren't good enough quality to use, and even using all the new jiggery-pokery, that's a good word, the new jiggery-pokery they've got these days to make things look good again. Some of the quality of the tapes isn't good enough, and obviously, as everyone knows, if your base quality isn't good, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, you can't amplify rubbish. It will just become amplified rubbish. And so some of them we won't ever get to see, unfortunately. But I think they're going to get the 50th out of the way, and... then they're going to start saying, oh, we found this one as well. And what it is, I think, is probably the fact that they're trying to do it in a business structure. So therefore, they've released these first two. They've made them a reported £100,000 through DVD sales and iTunes downloads, which isn't a great deal, but it's enough to get working on the restoration of the next slot.
Mm.
And then they'll release them, get the money for them.
Well, it does make sense. Rather than have all the money coming in and a massive load in one go, they can spread that influx of money over a long period of time.
Over two or three years.
Yeah.
And then they're not going to come out and say, we've found all 96, we're going to put them all out next Tuesday. They're not going to do that because that doesn't make good business sense, because episodes will get lost in the financial sense of buying them. If you release two stories every 6 months for the next 5 or 6 years, you are going to generate that £100,000 every time you do it.
And then if you release them, you regenerate that £100,000.
Whereas if you release them all at one go, then, as I say, they won't get as much revenue from the releases as they would do if they staggered them. So I think that's probably what they're doing. Well, why they'd have found 9 episodes or whatever it was.
I'll tell you if they do announce that another couple of episodes have indeed been found, then everybody's going to know, really, that there's going to be a load more coming. Because it's been expected. And Kirby was suggesting that one of the places they might announce some more episodes is at the after party on Saturday, or even at the thing I'm going to, the celebration thing during the day, or during, you know, one of the
I think it's going to be a bit further down the line.
You do?
Yeah, I think they're going to get the 50th out of the way. And then they'll start saying, oh, look, probably beginning of next year, they'll say, oh, we found two more new complete episodes that we, serials that we thought we'd lost, and we found them in Uganda.
I think Moonbase is a fairly, very good chance that is actually going to be complete, because I think they've made a few slips in the fact that commentaries have been done, not necessarily by the people who were in the episode, unfortunately, because they caught that up. But I think that's on the cards, because they were going to release it, and they've cancelled the release with and the animation, haven't they? So that's looks like
well,
be getting all that one back
again. That just kind of like tends to hint towards what I'm suggesting, which is I think there's a lot more to come over the next couple of years.
Yes,
that should be good. I mean, I watched the Yeti one.
Web of Fear.
The Trout one. Hey?
Web of Fear.
Yeah, it was all right. I wasn't massively taken by it, to be honest with you. I thought it was a... The thing is, though, the old Who is the really old one, you know, first and second Doctors. They're very slow-moving stories.
What about Enemy of the World? Did you get to see that one?
No, I haven't bothered with that one yet. I have got it, but I haven't bothered with it.
Carmen Munro is absolutely stunning in it.
I was just a little bit put off by Web of Fear, because I'd heard so many good things of Web of Fear and read many good reviews of it, and, you know, before it had been announced that it was coming back, if you like. Mm. And then to watch it, I was a little bit disappointed by it, to be honest with you. It was good enough, but a little bit disappointed. I'll tell you what I have started doing, though, recently, and that started watching all of the Third Doctor's adventures again, because I'd seen some of them, but I hadn't seen all of them. And I just want to kind of like fill in the gaps in my own personal Doctor Who history, if you like.
Well, that's a good thing about all these new episodes, because although I've listened to them, to be able to watch them, it's great being able to see stuff I've not seen before. And that's really, really fantastic.
I'll tell you one episode, one story I was really taken with, and that was Inferno. Never seen it before.
Yeah.
And I just thought it's gone to near the top of my favourite ever Doctor Who episodes or stories.
Yeah.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. The whole ethos behind it and the Doctors. But the one thing I did keep coming back to as I was watching it was obviously it's the one where the Doctor slipped into a parallel universe by using the TARDIS console.
Yes.
Now, I have an issue with this.
I have several, but go on.
Do you know what? As I said, I have an issue with this. I could hear hundreds of people listening to the podcast going, oh, God.
No, I have one too.
Not another issue. Right, basically, the TARDIS is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
The doors, however, on the outside of the TARDIS are not changeable in size. They've always been the same blue doors. They've always been... what, 4 foot wide? Maybe a little bit wider. Maybe not even that wide. The TARDIS console, however, is a lot wider than the doors.
Yes.
How did they get the console out of the TARDIS?
And the time column.
Yes, which apparently, as we've seen in the newer series, doesn't just stop at the floor of the console. No. And surely the whole TARDIS is linked to the black hole and the Eye of Harmony, which gives it the power.
Exactly.
And I know, obviously, they were using nuclear power to use it in Inferno. But, I mean, you know, like when you're trying to carry sofas upstairs and the stairs kind of like have a 90-degree turn in them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to turn it up on its end to try and get it in. Even that wouldn't work, trying to get the console out the door. So that was my one issue.
And of course,
with that
other thing, of course, is that's not the only Pertwee story in which the console is not inside the console room. And of course, at some point, he must get it back into the console room,
which you never see either, which would be quite interesting.
Yeah,
but I thought Inferno is certainly the favourite story that I've watched of the Pertwee era so far. I thought it was very good. Much, you know, even beat Spearhead and all those kind of ones. I think. Really, really
good
story.
For me, it just goes on a little bit too long. That's why I don't really like sort of watching it unless I have to watch it in...
Really?
In a sort of...
Was it five or six episodes? How many episodes? It might be seven. But I think the story holds up.
Oh, it's a good story.
I think the story can quite easily handle seven episodes. There are some, you know, some... Because this is the thing, isn't it? Obviously, in the Pertwee era, you used to get really long stories. Yeah. I mean, Ambassadors of Death was seven episodes long.
A month and a half of them, yeah.
long time.
Yeah, exactly. The Silurians was 7 episodes. Inferno was 7, as you say. Autons was only 4, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As Colony in Space was another long one, another 6 episode one. Demons was another long one, and
I think that the Inferno was the last 7-parter because the longer ones became 6-parters after that.
Yeah, I'm just checking through my list of them now just to confirm that that is a correct assumption by yourself.
That might be my quiz book. You never know.
It is actually the that was the last 7-parter, but I mean, like, to be honest, because I grew up with the back end. That sounds a bit wrong. The back end of Tom Baker. I like my arse. I grew up with the last couple of years of Baker and obviously then Davidson after that. And all the Tom Baker ones, you didn't get too... Well, you got a couple of longer ones. Obviously, Genesis of the Daleks is a 6-parter. But then, you know, Pyramids of Mars, Morbius. Everything else seems to be 4. Seeds of Doom is a long one as well, isn't it? That's 6. But most of them are all 4-parters, and that's generally how I grew up with Doctor Who, you know, having 4-part episode or 4-part series. And then there was that 2-part one that they did with Peter Davidson. Which one was that?
I don't know.
It's when they went. It's an old, like a Victorian one where they went and there was a big cave. What was it called? I can't remember. But that was only a 2-episode.
Yeah, there were a couple of 2-episode ones with Davidson. There was like The Visitation, The Awakening.
It was The Awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was The Awakening I was thinking of. But it was, interesting to, as I say, to look back at some of the Third Doctor episodes I haven't gotten. I've got all of them to watch, and now I've got all the Fourth Doctors to watch as well, and I'll work my way through them. But at the moment, it's all gearing up towards the 50th on Saturday, which I think, again, the trailers that came out for that to start with, we can ignore the teaser trailer bits where it just, you know, brought you up the hashtags. I mean, seriously, I'm nearly 40, I only care about hashtags.
Yeah, I must admit, I haven't bothered with the save the day. The only hashtag I've been using is actually an @ thing on Twitter for the DW celebration, because I'm just keeping track. And that's how I was able to get certain things there that I joined on the DW celebration thing. I actually joined their emailing list. I do get emails off them, but I've had more useful emails from people on Twitter that are members of the Facebook group or listeners to the podcast, because there was a chap on there who basically tweeted to me they're releasing Jenna Coleman photos, and I didn't get this through from them at all, so I was lucky enough to get the photo with her, because I was so hacked off I couldn't get anything with any of the doctors, because all those went really quickly, and I haven't got a fast enough internet connection to get through to their website. And I did complain to them.
I did see you moaning about your
I did complain to them, because the only people that would be applying for these were people that would already have tickets for the event. So why would it be the traffic on the site so be so large that it couldn't cope with a few hundred people, a 1,000 people, whatever, trying to get tickets for certain things? You know, and
you know what it is?
Very like, annoying. What?
It's because you live on a very small island.
I'll be quiet, but that's probably part of it, actually. It could be a small... Although,
I don't think it's part of it.
No,
I think
it's
probably most of it.
White You've cable, do 20 megabyte
You've
internet.
Only got one cable worth of internet going from the mainland over to the island. After that, it gets split around everyone's houses, and so you all end up getting 3 megapixels.
I did do some complaining, I tell you, because I was so... I mean, it's not really fair. It's not really fair, though, is it? You got people there who were moaning. There was one person that moaned because they didn't get on in time to get a Jenna Coleman photo, yet they had a Matt Smith photo. And I had to tweet back to them.
I don't see how they could possibly complain about that.
But, you know, it's just ridiculous. They've got a doctor. They've got probably the doctor everybody would want, apart from Tom Baker.
Yeah, but what number doctor is it?
And also, the other thing that really annoyed me, so I'm 12. The other thing that annoyed me...
Are you sure?
Not really, no. There's there's 2 entry groups on every day. I'm in What Ice Warrior, and the other one is Weeping Angel. Tom Baker on the Weeping Angel group... They had opportunities to have autographs with him, photographs with him, etc., etc. That was not released to the Ice Warriors group. So we don't get any opportunity to have an autograph or a meeting with Tom Baker. And I think that's completely wrong.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Pause there. I've just got to go to the front door. Hold on.
Right.
I'm coming.
Seriously.
Sorry, just
you get mates knock on the front door. I did tell him, right, I said to him, mate, I'm in the middle of recording something, and I just need to be really quick. And he starts talking at me, and I'm like, mate, seriously. I'm like, what was I there? It's like 3.5 minutes there. Oh, sorry, yeah. There's a bit of an edit for you to create there. Yeah, anyway, you were talking about...
Easy peasy. No, I was just having a rant about the Doctor Who celebration, yeah, which is going to be fantastic. I just a bit... Well, and I'm not the only one who's very disappointed with certain aspects of it. One is the fact that... well, me personally, missed out on anything with any of the Doctors. I will get to see Matt Smith at long distance, fair enough. The Tom Baker thing, there's only one entry group gets to see or meet... Well, to meet him, not necessarily see him. And also, obviously, we get to meet Jenna, which is fine, because Isabella knows who Jenna is. And meeting Daphne Ashbrook, of course, we've had her on the show twice, so and she's great. I've chatted to her for 4 hours, so I've got that sort of rapport with her that way, so that's why I wanted to meet her. Apart from that, she's a very nice lady. And I've tried to get to meet Louise Jameson, but it might clash with one of the other things. I wanted to meet Fraser Hines, but that clashes with something else. I think it clashes with Daphne Ashbrook, actually, so I had to knock that on the head. So all the people I'm meeting, the others don't really know. That's obviously Deb and Isabella don't really know who they are. So I'm going to have to play them the companions thing that was on Watch TV last week. So just to sort of give them a bit of an idea as to who we're meeting. Obviously, the other thing is they're autographs, and I'm hoping that I can say, well, can I have a photo instead? So I can, you know, get a picture of them instead, because I don't really go for autographs, not that sort of person, but it's an opportunity to meet people, so I paid the cash for it, £15 a time.
God, that is extortion, isn't it?
Just for a squiggle.
Absolute extortion. I mean, I'll tell you what, if anyone wants my autograph, they can have it for a fiver.
Yeah. Well, Jenna Coleman was £20 for the photo.
£4.
£20 for the photo.
£3.
The having your picture taken with Matt Smith's first TARDIS console is £13. Not too bad. The T-shirts are £20. So it's very expensive. I mean, the actual entry fee is quite reasonable. £80 for 4 of us to get in. Not too bad. I wanted TARDIS tickets initially, which are the VIP ones. So I was on the line, and someone very kindly gave me a code so I can get on before they actually went on general sale. And I was online trying to get these tickets straight away. Again, the website couldn't cope with the demand, and lots of people couldn't get in. But by the time it was all right, all the VIP tickets had gone. And it was such an attractive thing that even Deb wanted the VIP tickets. But there you go, we missed out on that. Then, of course, we miss out on other things. It's just, there's been a sort of a long run of missing out on stuff with it. And I just hope that... Oh, we didn't miss out on the screening. That's another thing. I say not, it's not a complete whitewash, but there's certain things I would have liked to have had a chance to meet at least one of the Doctors I haven't already met. Specifically, yeah. Sylvester McCoy, Peter Davison. I'm disappointed Tennant's not going. But there we go.
Yeah. Where is it?
It's at the XL in London.
Oh, so you're coming over onto the mainland.
Indeed.
Have you had your jabs?
No, not yet, but that's...
I would do, seriously.
Mm. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be very exciting. It's going to be a great 12-hour day. Isabella's going to get very tired in the evening, I know that, but she'll just have to suffer it. Obviously never been to one of these things before, so I don't know quite what to expect. We've got time slots for certain things. I'm just hoping that where I've got a couple of things overlapping, that we don't...
They don't overlap too much.
Yeah, but well, obviously
and you're seeing the actual... You're seeing the screening of the Day of the Doctor there, right?
Yeah, only half of the people that went could get tickets for this. It's free tickets because obviously the theatre can only take half the people that's there. So fortunately, I managed to get online and get the 4 tickets I need, whereas we're actually only using 3 because Alicia doesn't want to go.
That's because she's got a new boyfriend.
No, she's paying the ass. Well,
I think we'll have to talk about this new boyfriend thing, Adam. How old are you now?
16.
15?
16.
16. Mm. Oh, have you met the new boyfriend?
No, my wife has met her, but I've already told her, no, you're not staying around his house while we're away. Oh, why not? She said. Because Deb didn't stay with me until we were 2 years into an engagement.
Yeah, but that's because it was 1837 back then, and times have changed, times have moved on. She'll be pregnant within 6 months.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. That's my I've Alicia, had my rant about that. I say the event is great. It's a brilliant event. It's just they could have been a bit fairer with the way they distributed. You know, they could have even done a thing where people bought a ticket to meet a doctor. I bet some people are meeting all of them. Dave Simon. Have you seen Dave Simon online? He's always having his picture taken with celebrities, which is a great hobby. Brilliant hobby. A bit stalkerish, but a great hobby. But he went to a convention.
Yeah, a bit stalkerish.
Yeah, it is. But he went to a convention where all the doctors, well, 6 of them, I think it was, and he had his picture taken with all of them. What a brilliant thing to have. You know, I'd love that to happen. But he's the sort of bloke that somehow I managed to get that sort of luck. You know, probably cost him about a good £40 to have that done, I suspect. But sometimes, you know, it's money well spent. But I'm just so disappointed.
Why pay for someone's autograph when you can steal their credit card?
But you can accept a photograph because obviously the photograph's got to be processed, etc. to a certain degree, even though it's never going to cost 20 quid.
Their credit card's already got their signature on it, so if you just nick that, then you've got their signature.
Yeah, magic's tripping over my lead. But yeah, like I say, I am very disappointed in certain aspects of it, but I'm still really, really looking forward to it, and I know it's going to be a great day. So that's all I'm going to say on the Doctor Who celebration.
It does sound quite an interesting day for you. Not something I'll take part in myself. I mean, for myself, Saturday is a bit of a strange one because I really wanted to go and watch it in we've got 3D. Three cinemas. Mm. Well, we've got three cinemas within a stone throw of our house here. And they're all obviously all 3D because we're in 2013 and that's the way it goes. But two things put me off going to see it in 3D in the cinema. Actually, three things. Firstly, I had no one to go with and I didn't want to go by myself. Secondly, 3D screenings cost 14 quid, and as much as I love Doctor Who, I haven't got a job, and I think I'll watch it on me telly instead when it's free.
Yep.
And thirdly, this sounds a little bit harsh, but since the last time I was on, I now only get my little daughter Mia every other weekend.
Mm.
Due to her mother being a, you might need to bleep this bit out, Adam.
You don't even have to say it.
Okay, I won't. I'll save you editing time and just call her a moo. Yeah, basically. So I only get her every other weekend. And obviously, due to it being Doctor Who's 50th anniversary, the biggest thing that we've been looking forward to for months and months and months, she's coming this weekend. And she goes to bed at 8:30, which is obviously 40 minutes into the screening. Oh. And before that, I always read her a story and give her a bath. So I don't know when I'm actually going to get to watch it. It's kind of like one of those things I think, it's only a one-off. Maybe I can let the wife give her a bath and read her stories this week. But or then I could just say to myself, or I could just watch it later. Yeah. You know, but I don't know what to do. I'm really, really, really cut off in there.
What you need to do is turn your phone off and everything else off. Do what you need to do with your daughter, and as soon as she's asleep, go downstairs and watch Doctor Who delay.
Catch up. Yeah, well, the problem with that, Adam, is that there's also something called X Factor or something.
Oh, never mind bloody X Factor. God.
I don't give a monkey's tail. I'm being very good
for
to
once, Doctor Who should take priority.
Well, it should do, but you try telling the wife who doesn't like Doctor Who that.
Deb would let me.
And is quite into Strictly Come X Factor.
Deb doesn't like X Factor. We just watch a results show, but Strictly Come Dancing is a favourite of the whole families. But if Doctor Who comes into the equation, then we'd watch it Strictly probably in the morning or, you know, and watch Doctor Who there and then. It does take precedence even with She Who Must Be Obeyed.
The eldest daughter and the wife are both very much into Strictly. The daughter doesn't care about X Factor, because at least she's got a little bit of taste there. But the wife loves them both. And so I don't know when I'll get a chance to watch it. It might be a case of taking the laptop upstairs after Mia's gone to bed and watching it on the laptop.
Better than nothing, isn't it?
Then watching it on the telly again later.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Might be the way to do it.
I think that's a good idea.
The trailer looks fantastic.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. And they all look great. You can tell the performances of all the actors in it are just outstanding, and I just love that little release scene of Tennant with the rabbit. Have you seen that one?
No. With the rabbit?
There's a rabbit, and he's sort of, I am the oncoming storm, blah, blah, blah. Ah, you're just a rabbit, aren't you? It's very, very funny. It's just been released. Kirby's posted to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. You might find it on
today?
Yeah, I saw it. There was a long news article released where they did a behind-the-scenes thing. It was on BBC Breakfast, I think. That has since been put out.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. But there's a shortened version that Kirby put on of just Tennant with the rabbit. Brilliant stuff.
There's a couple of that Kirby's put on, actually.
Yeah, he's just
I'll get watching them.
Doing shorter versions of the bits I put on there. Because I put the full three-minute article.
Of you with John Pertwee.
Yeah, so now that's a retouched, redone picture. I thought, might as well repost it where it's the 20th anniversary. In fact, it's the 50th anniversary. So I thought I might as well
repost it. Right, it's the 20th anniversary plus 30.
Well, it's how long when did he die? 1996. That was taken 3 weeks before he died, so that's...
What is that all?
17 years ago.
God, he looks all right for it, doesn't he?
Yeah, considering what was going to happen. He did have makeup on because he was doing, an interval between 2 hours of his stage show.
Yeah.
But anyway,
You had hair.
I know. That's before I had daughters.
Yeah, tell me about that. Yeah, the wife keeps on telling me how bald I'm going now, which, considering I've still got my long ponytail,
I still had hair when Alicia was born, but you can see I've got two pictures there, one of me with Alicia as a baby, and above it is a picture of me with Isabella as a baby. Hair in one, none in the other, and there's only like an 8-year gap between the two. So that thing really does tell a story within itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll look like Francis Rossi out of Status Quo before too long.
Oh, I haven't watched that Status Quo thing yet. I've got that on the
That was really good, actually.
I know, I saw bits of it. I can't wait to see this. Because there was one about Slade a few weeks ago, which was really, really good. So I'm sure it's going to be...
Oh, I didn't see that one. No, but Status Quo one was really good. But so anyway,
yes.
That's got off topic a little bit about Doctor Who. Just as I'm here, there's been a story which has appeared on Digital Spy.
Yeah,
which is a very good website, isn't it? Very good website. Mm-hmm. Paul McGann has a video interview with him saying that he wants to do more Doctor
Who. Yeah, I know, but there's a petition. Have you seen the petition? There's a great big petition of people wanting to Moffat or somebody at the BBC to do more mini-episodes with the Eighth Doctor.
See, the thing is, and I'm not sure if we've discussed this before or not, but there's absolutely no reason that they can't.
No, exactly.
Absolutely.
They must
no
be able to see from that little mini episode how brilliant Paul McGann is. And clearly Paul McGann is prepared to do it. He's been doing Big Finish now since, I think, 1999, which is quite a long run as playing that character,
yeah.
Really. What's that, 13, 14 years? So, well, actually been playing the Doctor since 97, hasn't he? And still doing
yeah.
So. So clearly he's prepared to do it. Clearly he's going to be brilliant at it. I mean, I also wanted to say, just bring him in and out of the series from time to time. You know, they keep bumping into each other.
There's no reason why they can't make an entire series of McGann
and Doctor.
That'd
be fantastic. What about, never mind, bloody spin-offs with Torchwood and spin-offs with Sarah Jane Adventure. Bring a spin-off with the Eighth Doctor.
As long as you make it clear that this is a spin-off,
yeah.
And, you know, because of wibbly wobbly timey wimey, it doesn't actually matter who is the Doctor.
Hmm. And when he leaves, they just end the series. That's all they have to do, because Doctor Who's still running.
Exactly. You don't kill off McGann. You don't make him regenerate, because we've already seen how he now regenerates anyway. You know, you can set it after the movie, and then you've got 8 years to play with, which he can be buzzing around the universe having adventures, which I think would be great.
I think he
looks really good in the role of the Doctor.
He does.
And it'd be lovely to see him. We won't.
No.
But it would be lovely.
It would be indeed, absolutely. Father, we might see him in 10 years' time, because obviously there'll be a 60th at some point, and then maybe they'll bring him back for that. They'll look a bit older. But
I don't think the 60th will be quite as big as the 50th.
No, but it'll still be big.
By a long shot,
when
really.
If this is successful and makes the BBC a packet of money, which it probably will, I'm sure they'll do something on that line for the 60th. But it's still 60 years. You can see when Coronation Street hits 60, they'll be making a big fuss over it. And why not with Doctor Who?
Well, no, there's no reason why not. I just don't think they'll make the 60th half as big as the 50th.
Mm. Okay.
But then again, they did with the Queen as well, didn't they?
Yeah, and Freddie Mercury.
The 60th was bigger than the 50th.
Oh, sorry, I got confused again.
Not that Freddie Mercury, no.
Okay. Anyway, thanks, Ben.
Not the throne he was in. Yes!
Right, we'll have to do this again on a time convenient for you.
I'll tell you what, I should be around next Monday as well.
Excellent.
Because
I would have just got back.
Break the fourth dimension of...
That's a good idea, actually. That's a brilliant idea. You know what's a really good idea? Because I've set up to record with the others on Tuesday, thinking that I'm going to be throwing together what we've recorded in London on Monday. But that I will have time to record with you on Monday, and we can package a great big thing together on Tuesday. So that'd be good, yeah. Okay.
So I get to record first?
Yes.
Whereas this week, everyone's recorded before me.
Correct.
So therefore, everyone who's listening has no idea that we're actually recording Monday lunchtime, and you normally record everyone else Sunday evening.
Correct. Although we record sometimes Sunday, sometimes Monday, depending on how much sleep certain people in Australia want to get.
You're just a gang of crazy Doctor Who fans.
Anyway, thank you, Ben.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'll be on. I'd love to come on next week again. We'll have a chat about the 50th and rough to you two. And it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out over the weekend. And do enjoy your Doctor Who convention.
I will. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Adam.
See you later. Bye.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.